You're listening to a very special episode of The Geek I.O. Show, Doctor Who 50th Anniversary Edition, a proud member of the Geek I.O. Podcast Network, with your hosts, CJ and Rachel Boat, along with Jared Azevedo, with support from their producer, Jared Budlong. This is Geek I.O., where you put geek in and geek out.
Geek out, as defined by the Urban Dictionary. It resembles an orgasm of the mind.
Fantastic.
I don't understand. In what way is that fantastic?
More like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
Spoilers.
Exterminate!
Exterminate! If you could touch the alien sand and hear the cries of strange birds and watch them wheel in another sky, would that satisfy you?
Doctor, you're being childish.
Well, of course I am. There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Ah, yes.
Geronimo!
Welcome to Geek.io, your weekly dose of tech news and geeky goodness, episode 40, our 100th episode of Flagship Shows, recorded Wednesday, the 27th of November, 2013. I am your host, CJ Boat.
I'm not in the document because I'm a slacker.
Yay!
Which means I probably should get my ass in gear. Hi, guys.
And I'm Jared Budlong.
Hi.
Shut up, JD! Screw it, JD's here. Hi, JD.
It's good to be back. I've missed you guys. I have.
Aww.
It's been a while.
Dude, it has. It literally, with no internet and just, you know, avoiding you guys like the plague, it's put a toll on me, dude.
Yeah, JD's a movie star now. Like, it's creepy.
He avoids us because the paparazzi know we exist, and they're all crowding our house hoping to get a shot of JD.
Exactly, right? They camp outside my house. It's weird to take a poo and be looking across the mirror and see some dude. Yeah.
You got to frost those windows now. Watch out.
Exactly.
Well, he has big Hollywood money coming in so he can do that.
Yes. Yeah, you let me know when that check arrives.
Sorry, it was deposited into my account. They kind of gypped you.
Well, yeah, they did.
I told them that I was your boss, so they just gave it to me.
It was performance-based is what it was, so they...
I want to say a couple things about your movie. Like, when I first saw it, like, you're talking about the movie, and why don't you tell the folks at home a little bit about the movie first?
Yeah, sure. So, the movie's called Convergence. It is a paranormal thriller. It's basically two stories simultaneously taking place, and it's got, you know, Ethan Embry's in it. Michael T. from Forrest Gump is in it. He played Bubba, which he hated to be called that on set. They literally pulled everybody aside. They're like, his name's Michael T. For God's sake, it's Michael T. You know? And so that was kind of cool, so I showed up after everybody left. So it was just me and, like, you know, my Ghost Hunter crew, which was really cool. So, but yeah, it turned out to be really awesome. I play a lead in one of the web series episodes, which is really cool. And then I have a small part in the actual film where I get to beat the shit out of somebody, which I'm very excited about.
Yay. See, yeah. I was really psyched about your film because I thought it would, I heard you say the name, and I thought, because one of the books that I read is also called Convergence. It's actually the name of the second book in the Divergent series. So I'm like, oh my God, he didn't. Oh, no, this is not.
You were like, oh, shit. God dang it, JD.
I'm like,
you
yes,
got me so excited.
Cool. That's so awesome. Oh, what is this IMDb? What is this on IMDb? What is this shit?
Yeah, right?
Cool thing is, though, like Ethan Embry, I knew his face from somewhere, and he's actually the lead antagonist of last season's Once Upon a Time. So that made me very happy.
Dude, he, from what I hear, and obviously I didn't get a chance to meet him, you know, but everybody on set said he is just the coolest down-to-earth guy, you know, which is cool because, I mean, this guy has been around for, like, Empire State Records. You remember that?
Empire State Vaguely. What? Who? What did they do?
Empire State Records? Hey, Gio, how are you, buddy?
I'm glad my son's not the only one up late.
Yeah, Gio just kicked in the door, broke the lock, and now he's in here chilling with Dad. Hey, come say hey to the world.
He's like, where's the PlayStation? I want to watch Walking Dead.
Come say hey to everyone.
This
hey,
is my
Gio.
Son.
Say hi.
Hi, Gio.
She's over there. Why don't you go say hey to Mommy?
But like a bouse.
Yeah, that's... No, dude, he, like, literally kicked in the door, and it, like, fell, flew open, and he fell on the ground, got up, smiled, and came running over to me. So it was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, now the wife's chasing him around the table, and he's, yeah, which is, it's, yeah, so, hi, honey. Say hey to the world. She says hi.
Hey.
Hello, Lady Depew.
Gio's grabbing the door like a cartoon character right now. Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. Where were we?
You and your big movie dollars.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
No, I mean, it was a truly awesome experience, and there's, it's hard to put in words if you've not been there or done it. You know, it was great. The cast and crew were amazing. You know, because there was literally points where I'd pull somebody aside. I'm like, what the hell did he just say? What does that mean? You know, like. Dude, all right, so I have to tell y'all, like, there was a part where I was getting ready to film the actual movie, and I'm like, it's there, you know, they get everybody lined up, mic'd up, and they're like, all right, set, action, and I just stood there, and I'm like, oh shit, this is really happening.
You know, like, nice.
Yeah, man, but it was cool, guys. So I movie should be out sometime in spring. You know, I didn't have a huge part in it, but it was still just an awesome experience.
He's playing an alien who eats cats.
Exactly. Guy, yeah, which is funny because that was the running joke on set. The producer pulled me aside and told me that. he goes, after we saw your picture, man, we just assumed, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, so it's cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've been through, I actually took television production through school. And so, like, I have it on a much lower scale than that, but I'm, like, I did a lot of the same stuff because we did a shot-by-shot reenactment of A Charlie Brown Christmas, which, by the way, I now hate that movie because I had to transcribe it.
Oh, wow.
How do you transcribe?
Because womp, 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 womp. I put teacher, and nice. That's all I put.
That's great.
But, like, I had to sit and watch it on VHS over and over and over again, trying to transcribe it.
Dude.
It was the worst experience of my life. Because we couldn't afford, because the production studio wanted to charge us for copies of the script.
Wow.
Like, even one copy of the script was insanely priced, and I went to Columbus, Ohio Public School. There ain't nobody got time for that.
No, dude, yeah.
I wish I had that handy.
So my teacher's like, all right, everybody, and we all rolled a die, and the person with the lowest number had to transcribe it, and yay, lucky me.
Oh, dude.
I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas about 8 times that day.
Dude, that's rough. But I guess after 8 times, yeah. It's like I love...
Right? Rachel pulls it up. Rachel's like, oh my god, Charlie Brown Christmas, and watches it every year. I'm like, no, not happening.
Well, that is the one day of the year my husband avoids me like the plague.
Well, so my wife and son are big Ice Age fans. Well, when Ice Age first came out, I loved it, but I worked at Walgreens at the time, and we had this one DVD that would show this one TV how awesome this TV was, and it was Ice Age, and it stayed on for an entire month, and it was just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't.
Yeah. That's kind of the same reason why I hate Grinch, the new Jim Carrey Grinch movie.
Which isn't that bad, I don't think.
Well, I hate it not because of how it is, but because I worked at the movie theater the weekend that my first day at the movie theater was the day that it premiered.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's puke. There's puke. Go clean up the puke. Hey, new guy, go clean up the puke. Hey, new guy, there's a pile of shit on the floor. What?
Oh. Yucky.
All right. Speaking of piles of shit, let's go ahead and move on into what we're playing with.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and he also is on How It Stacks. I was just going to say.
Okay.
Gadgets, games, and gizmos.
Pew, 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 pew. This is Gadgets, Games, and Gizmos, where we talk about the things that we've been playing with in the last week or so, because we were not here last week because I was sick. Though, it did come up with some interesting things because I had awesome, sexy, deep voice. So something that I've been doing in the last couple of weeks has been... Hold on a second. I should have thought about this. I did stuff like this. That isn't going to play now. What the hell?
Dude, I'm digging what you're showing, man.
Hold on. How about this? Here. A little early stage.
Know that Geek.io has a master feed. It is your one-stop shop for the Geek.io show. Disney Geek.io. Comment.
Yeah, that happened. And that was fun. Though for some reason it starts like 3 seconds in, and I don't know why. I blame Sam.
Good plan. Good plan.
Other than that, I've been playing. I actually picked up Skyrim again and started playing that again.
Xbox or PC?
I got a PC.
Okay.
One, because I don't have an Xbox, and two, I don't own it on PS3.
Yeah, that too. Sorry, that's my default go-to question. Sorry.
Yeah, I played on that, and I've been playing it. I'm about halfway through the Mage's Guild stuff, because this time I'm like, all right, I'm going to stick to one thing at a time. I got to the first city, Winterrun, and I'm like, all right, I'm not even going to continue on with the main quest. I know what I want to do. I'm going to go become the Archmage of the Mage's Guild, and then I'm going to go back to the main quest. I'm not doing anything else. Other than that, I was on this tiny little show last week where we talked about male strippers, and Budlong was really happy about it.
Did he win? he won, didn't he?
Yes, he did win. I have not listened to the final product yet that's actually up on said master feed that you just heard about. So check that out. Chip and Dale finished up the Disney Afternoon party block, whatever you want to call it.
There's like four names that we've been using throughout the entire thing. Just pick one. Or mix them all together. It's fine.
I don't think any one of us really knew exactly what the name was. We just called it the Power Hour.
Oh, did we call it the Power Hour? I was calling it the Block Party. So
Block Party, that sounds great, too.
I knew what it was.
Yeah, it was in the afternoon, but we're making up names because that's how we roll it out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Everybody knows my love of the 90s, and this is like, I've been listening to the last Howard Stack shows, and I'm like, yes!
Dude, all right, so I don't know. I haven't gotten it approved through Bulldog yet, who's like three panels over right now. But I, from what Willis is talking about and what I've mentioned, is we're actually talking about doing classic Doctor Who next.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm down with it. That's fun.
Thing is, but therein lies an issue with it, because you're going to run into another thing where you didn't have that growing up as a kid.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the point. We haven't been able to do it at all. So, none of us have. That's something we haven't done yet. Is a show that none of us have watched as a kid. So we can actually just bare bones.
So
how does it stack up now?
Okay. Oh, you guys are going to love going into the first Doctor.
No,
oh, my goodness.
That's the one caveat. We discussed it slightly, but the one caveat is I've seen some of the first Doctor. So it's...
All right. Anyway. I will put this out there for the interwebs to hear. I actually enjoy old classic sci-fis. Like, I grew up watching old Godzilla movies with my dad and...
It's kind of up there with that, like Strings and Zippers.
Yeah,
and...
do you remember there was a movie, and I think I can't remember what it is. Maybe you can help me. So there was this planet that humankind had landed on, and there was this machine that enhanced their brain
power.
Planet
of the Apes.
Nope. And there was this machine, and it enhanced their brain power so much so where they created this monster, you know, that went around, like, killing things, but the monster was invisible. And
Hannah Montana.
That's it. Got it. Thanks, dude.
Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball. Oh, wait.
Oh my god. Don't you dare get him started on that. Do not.
You guys are killing me.
I found my new idol. Like, there's a guy on there that did Wrecking Ball Chat Roulette Edition on YouTube.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, I've seen his
other videos. God.
He's pretty good.
You need to watch that, because it is hilarious, and it had me in tears.
He's got other videos, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah, he did Call Me Maybe Chat Roulette. He did Peacock from Katy Perry.
This man over there made me watch like 8 videos before we went to go clean. And
they're all amazing. You want to look away because it's not natural, but you can't. I also did a lot of misadventures trying to get Amazon instant streaming to work on my phone to review Chippendale Rescue Rangers, and none of it worked.
Well,
like, I almost had it working, and then it crashed. And then I almost had it working, and it crashed.
You can install a third-party browser like Dolphin, and...
It didn't work.
What?
Yeah. I tried that. I tried going through XBMC. None of it worked.
Weird. Because that's how we have it on my son's tablet. Forbidden Planet? Okay.
Yes. So, like, and I know we're totally...
You're good. You're good.
Anyway, yeah. Forbidden Planet was, like, those are the movies I watched as a kid, you know, with my dad and stuff. So, like, I am really excited about some old-school Doctor Who. And now we can move on to the conversation.
All right. I downloaded this really weird, this really, really weird game on my phone called Dungeons & Dragons Arena. And I say it's weird because it's like Angry Birds type physics combined with D&D, and it doesn't work very well.
So that sounds like, I don't know a lot about D&D, but that sounds weird.
It is really weird, and it doesn't work really well. Like, I picked a sorcerer because I'm like, ooh, magic character, let's go with that. That's typically how I roll when I first play a game. So I'm like, all right, let's pick a sorcerer, and I'm like, all right, okay. I try and move him, and he starts running into a wall. I'm like, no, I pointed this way. Go this way. And he runs into a wall again. I'm like,
stop it.
You know, go to the right. Run to the left, run into the wall. Shoots a fireball out in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, what are you doing? So I'm like, all right, fine, RTFM. So I read the freaking manual, and I'm like, what do you mean I have to slingshot them? I'm like, all right, fine. Angry Birds, my little lizard man across the screen. I mean, this sucks. This is so bad. I played the first three levels and I uninstalled it.
Dude, that sounds ridiculous. I can't stand games with terrible controls.
It is so bad. Like, I was expecting it to be a Dungeons & Dragons type game. You give me Dungeons & Dragons on my phone, I'm sold. Like, I will probably never need another game on there. But because that sucked, I actually I went and got Final Fantasy VI, which, if you guys can remember from the How It Stacks show, that they covered Final Fantasy Snorefest. That is my favorite Final Fantasy game. So I have been playing the ever-living hell out of that.
Well, I don't think you're alone, man. Like, I think for the most part, the mankind as a whole loves that game, dude. Yeah. So I think you're right on it.
You're right on par with average. The rest of us who are above average think it's boring and fall asleep playing it.
No, Final Fantasy VI, not VII.
Oh.
I'm not a particular fan of Final Fantasy VII.
We talked about this.
Yeah, you were there, Bud Long. Did you fall asleep during the show, too?
No, I heard VII a second ago somehow. Sorry.
Pay attention. Keep up.
I love how the producer of my show is like, we talked about what?
Yeah, I fell asleep during the show. Sorry.
I've been playing the ever-living hell out of that. I found out that Rick Riordan released The House of Hades, which is the new Percy Jackson book, and I completely missed it, so I downloaded that from the Kindle store and have been reading that. And that's good. I mean, that's up there with the rest of them. Not the movies, but the rest of the books. Because the movies are not that great. I also found this really, really cool utility called Push Bullet, because my voice squeaked because I'm still coming off of sickness. And
so
it's
that's what they're calling puberty these days. All right.
Yeah. Push bullet.
Push bullet. No, what push bullet is it is a little like Chrome extension that you can use it to push to other devices. So to your phone, to your, you know, to another computer. So, like, and it's just as it's simple as loading in the browser, clicking a little button, and saying send to my phone. And it instantly gives me a notification on my phone.
Hell yeah. Huh.
And on my phone, on the phone, it's a little bit more clunky to get back to it, but you can have it so it'll read what tab you're currently in on Chrome. It only works with Chrome. And you can say, send this to my home computer, send this to my work computer. And it's seamless, and it works really, really well. So, like, I'll be on the bus, and I'm looking online. I'm like, oh, this is a really cool site, but the mobile site sucks. So I'll say, send it to home, and when I get home, I'll read it from there.
Sorry if I'm distracted. I'm currently installing that.
it is amazing.
Way to go, dude. Good sale. Good job.
Yeah.
It's not compatible with my review. Oh, come on. Sorry.
Your review? What do you,
my Logitech review. Like, it's old.
I was literally getting ready to hit install for World of Warcraft. Like, this is how this happened about a week and a half ago. I'm literally hovering over the install button of World of Warcraft because I'm really wanting to play World of Warcraft again.
Oh, yeah.
I miss the game. I'm like hovering over it. I'm like, Rachel, kill me if I hit this button, but I really want to play it. I can get 30 days free, but will that be enough to say Dan? And all of a sudden I get a pop-up because I have desktop notifications for my Gmail. Welcome to the Hearthstone beta.
Nice.
Screw WoW. I installed that and I've been playing nothing but Hearthstone since.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hearthstone, if those who don't know, is the as the online collectible card game from Blizzard that is World of Warcraft based. So you have all the World of Warcraft classes and all that stuff, and it's free and it's amazing, and I've been playing the ever living hell out of it.
Heck yeah.
It is a fantastic game. That they nailed everything. The polish is good. There's a little bit of balance issues, but it's still in beta. So, which is more than what I could say of a beta that I was in that I'm under NDA that I can't say that what game it was.
Right.
So, you know.
You're like, I am not at liberty to say these things.
Not at liberty to speak of the game that both of us may have tried and did not get much enjoyment out of.
No, exactly.
How can we not have that liberty to say that? I'm just curious.
NDA.
Because we signed an NDA.
Oh, okay. You guys, you and your signatures.
Yeah, the EULA that we signed when we logged in said we can't talk about it. So
yeah,
really.
So like they actually I don't know, I don't play very many I haven't used very many NDAs, very many betas, but this one put your email address as an overlay over the screen as you're playing. So if you took a screenshot, it was very apparent who did it.
Wow.
Yeah, you couldn't. There's no way that you could get out of it. Yeah. And I have a contact at the company that this was for, and I'm like, you know, is there an NDA on this even for people that you know you talk with? Oh yeah, we'll get to the press release here now, you know, in a couple of weeks. And I'm like, I played it this last week, and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's hardcore.
I think I'm kind of done with that, and it is such a shame because it is one of my favorite series of all time, and it has a lot of good things going for it, but just the execution is not there.
And that could change, but you know, I don't know how early in the process we are. They call it a beta, but I don't know if it was more of an alpha.
I mean,
like I don't know where they are in that process. If they're going to release in 3 months, then I'm saying there's no way I would ever play this game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've played worse betas. Like when I was in the now that it's the obviously the NDA's left it, I actually was in the press preview for Guild Wars 2 when it was in beta, and that was stupid early beta. Like it would fall through the ground, and I'd have to have a GM come and get me. I would hit a button on my warrior, and all of a sudden I would be casting a fire spell. I'm like, wait a second, that's not right.
Hold on, you guys are being sillies.
So yeah, so I've been in worse betas. I mean, I've done a lot of beta work, but like this, it reeks of Star Wars: The Old Republic for me. I should love it. I should be absolutely enthralled with this game, and I should never want to put it down. But I don't really want to pick it up.
I gotcha. Okay.
See, if it can get better, I would like to. My problem is I didn't get enough. I like how we can talk about this without actually talking about what it was.
Kind
of ridiculous.
Well, here's what I find amusing. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Well, and that's kind of the point.
I live with one of them, and I couldn't tell you what he's fucking talking about.
That's even better.
It's like Rachel better. Trying to describe Breaking Bad.
So yeah. The thing is, the little bit I got to play was not the way you're supposed to play this game. I literally did not interact with anyone else.
Yeah.
And that's not how this game's supposed to be played. And that's part of why I don't want to give it a definitive, there's no way I would ever play this game, because it was literally not played. I didn't play it the way you're supposed to. So, and that's because I had very limited time. The flip side is, I don't normally play that style game anyway, so I'm not sure, even if it got better, that I would play it. So
yeah, see, the thing is with that, I mean, there are several things that are going against it. And, I mean, for those who don't know, it is an MMO. We can't say which MMO, but
we can say that.
It.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, well, it's a beta test, and we're playing with each other, Budlong. It's kind
that
of
doesn't
a,
mean it's massive. It could just be. It could be. Even I'm gonna make up a. I'm gonna make up a name. It could be Halo 5.
Yes. So we play Halo 5.
Yes.
And the problem with Halo.
You do understand that now we've got like 70,000 more people listening to the show. So
oh no, this is going in the SEO. It's fine.
Yes. And the problem with Halo 5. Is eventually you're going to have to start paying for Halo 5.
Yes.
And the problem is, in its current state, I would not pay to play Halo 5 at all. There's no way I would pay to play that.
This is going to be such great SEO.
What is
Halo 5.
Search engine optimization.
Search engine optimization.
It's
it
keywords. So when people are searching, we're going to put this in the keywords behind the scenes.
It's kind of like the same reason why if you look up Sonic Sex Comics, we're on the front page of Google on it.
because during Comic Geek IO, he talked about Sonic and a comic called Sex.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
So the whole episode.
And a comic called Sex.
The keywords are there. It just they're not in the order in which people are looking for them, evidently.
Nor the reason why they are looking for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Context. Anyway, right. So Halo 5 wouldn't play in the current state for money or for free.
See, if it was a box buy like Guild Wars 2 is, I would buy Halo 5 if it was on sale.
Not in its current state, though. It needs to, I mean, obviously it's in beta, so obviously things are going to have to get fixed. But even in the state that I saw it, I don't know if I would play it, even if it was a one-time pay.
In today's world where you can patch things easily and there's day one patches and stuff like that, even Guild Wars 2, when it released, was in a pretty poor state. And I'm not saying bad, but it was in a poorer state. And less than a week later, they're like, oh yeah, we forgot to push this update before it came live. And all of a sudden, the game was raining gold. And I still play Guild Wars 2 a lot.
Nice.
So, I mean, in its current state, given the fact that they would have to upgrade it and patch it, I would spend $20 on Halo 5.
Okay. All right. $20
if I didn't have to pay for it ever again.
Yeah, I could.
If it was a box buy and that was it.
Yeah, like on a Humble Bundle or something along those lines. Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Guild Wars 2, I spent $20 on and I don't have to pay monthly fee.
How did you get
that
for $20?
A really awesome sale plus knowing people at ArenaNet.
Wow. Let me know if that happens again, because I did want to play that game, but I wasn't going to spend $60, because I don't know how much I play
it. It was on the Humble, like when it first dropped, it was on the Humble store for $20.
Dang. Okay.
By the way, that's a thing now. Humblebundle.com has a store that you can go buy stuff for super cheap on.
Sorry, you're distracting me. I'm just saving that for read later. So I don't
and also, the Steam Autumn Sale is happening right now, so
today.
It might be on
that. Yeah, I saw that today.
Oh my god, Skyrim's like $7.
I acquired that through legal means, but I acquired that for free. So
nice.
Obviously,
yeah,
Steam,
I did the same thing. So it's kind of I got it gifted to me, so I'm like, all right.
Dude,
Anyway.
all right, moving on. Rachel doesn't have anything in the notes. Let's pick on her.
Rachel!
You assume I'm still awake.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what I've been doing. I'm simply going to show you because my life has been all consumed by school.
My life
been
like,
we're going to do this. And this one we're going to do first. This is the short thing that I have done this week.
Oh, you copied and pasted a document. That's awesome.
Oh, no. This is all about my observation hours.
That's
and this is only one class's work. So we go from that back to my happy, smiling face. And then we go to the monstrous one. This one has been the bane of my existence for two solid
Tell us how many pages and how many words it's been.
I look at the size of the scroll bar. It's
you can
tiny.
Look right here.
Damn.
How many pages is that, JD?
That says 72.
That says 72. This is 16,455 words.
Hey, not NaNoWriMo, by the way.
Hey, you do have that backed up, right? Maybe once or twice? Three times, maybe?
Yeah.
Three times a lady?
I actually have it saved in multiple places, and yeah. That is what I've been doing. Those are my psychological and cognitive development coursework that I've been working on.
Damn.
And yeah, that yeah.
That is a lot of stuff.
So I have been doing literally nothing except for classwork because I'm in the last 2 weeks of my semester now, and then I get 4 weeks.
Yay!
But of course we're moving, so I get to start packing.
So yay. You might in actuality get 2 weeks.
I might get 2 days.
Oh, dang.
Peace and quiet.
It's supposed to be a really good reference to Arnold Schwarzenegger, so never mind.
Oh, speaking of which, Jared, have you heard about... I'm sorry, I'm stealing her thunder. Never mind.
That's how we roll.
Okay. Did you get the text I sent out to you and Gabe about the Christmas topic for How It Stacks?
Evidently not.
Okay,
you guys
well...
You're going to stack, what is that, fruit logs, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to stack each other's fruit logs.
Whoa. Wow.
I think you have wives that would be a little upset with that.
I don't know.
Just saying.
Anyway, that's terrible.
It's an Alabama thing. You wouldn't understand.
No, it's not. That's not
As of right now, it's Christmas vacation, and Jared,
okay.
Jingle all the way.
Nice. Okay.
Oh God! Okay. Oh God! Does not stack.
As a kid, I worshipped both of those films. I loved them so much, man. So I'm really excited to see how they turn out. Now, I haven't seen Jingle All the Way in a long time.
It's been since it came out for me. So.
Yeah. Turbo Man.
Turbo Man looked like a knockoff of.
Power Ranger.
What was that? Superman? No, it wasn't. There was another show.
Captain Power?
Ah, man, I can't remember. We're going to have to look it up for the show. Pay attention to how it stacks around Christmas time.
So, yeah, dude. So, anyway, so Rachel, I'm sorry. I hear you back.
It's okay. I'm freezing, so you guys get to watch my couch talk to you for a minute.
All right.
It's a sexy couch, what can I say? Other than that, what have I done? Nothing. I have no life. I have two small children that one is asleep on the couch here, one is asleep on the couch behind my computer, and both of them are very angry with me because we didn't bring them over to the new house tonight to help clean.
Oops.
Aww. Do they want to help clean?
Yeah, they want to help clean. It would be great. Unfortunately, they don't clean. They just... Cleaning with my kids around, I might as well have a fucking tornado going because there is no such thing as cleaning with my kids around.
yeah, we're learning that the hard way as we progress. We're trying to move, watch a two-year-old, and it's just...
And watch Doctor Who.
We literally, Jared was there. Vicky and I had an argument/debate on where we should, where we needed to be that night so we could watch Doctor Who. We're like, okay, we can't disconnect the internet because the beds are still here in this house. And if we disconnect the internet, then we're not going to be able to watch Doctor Who. So we shouldn't move the beds at least until tomorrow night when we can set them up in the new house so we can watch Doctor Who.
Won't lie, it was pretty epic. It was pretty freaking great. Nice.
It literally,
Rachel,
it was.
By the way, today you're watching the Ninth Doctor's first episode tonight.
Okay.
Which one's the Ninth Doctor?
Eccleston.
I thought it was the 10th.
What?
I thought it was the 10th with your bullshit 13th Doctor and the Time Paradox.
We'll discuss that after the break.
Now we're jumping ahead.
We'll talk about that after break.
We're jumping ahead.
Spoilers.
Stay on topic.
Jeez.
All right. Cool. All right. Well,
actually, to JD's defense, CJ, you kind of opened up that whole can of worms.
You did. Thank you, Rachel.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
How did I open up any can of worms?
You mentioned it. You said, oh, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a squirrel.
Okay, so is this like,
up like that.
Is this like the whole Lost spoilers or Breaking Bad spoilers thing that we have to do?
No, I just did spoilers for our own show. you were jumping ahead.
All right, Bud Long, what have you been doing?
I, according to the doc, have rearranged my desk again. I remounted a monitor so that I'm no longer doing this to you guys. I don't know if anybody's noticed.
Bud Long lives an exciting life.
Yeah, so I rearranged my desk. I've been watching a ton of Rescue Rangers because I refuse to call it Chippendale because of obvious
Chip and Wang.
Yes, obvious confusion between a kids TV show from the 90s and an adult location for people to go see male strippers.
I'm all for both.
No, I'm just. I had this discussion with a fan. I just wanted to keep down the confusion. It has nothing, if that's your thing, go see Chippendale. That's cool. But I just wanted to make sure we were on topic. So Rescue Rangers, and then plenty of Doctor Who for
which
obvious.
Which can also
reasons.
Involve male strippers.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I know a few male strippers that would impersonate Doctor Who if that's what you're into.
I'm pretty sure there are some actors in there who would.
And they would all be fantastic.
Yes. And John.
Fabulous.
John Barrymore, or Barrowman. How do you say his name? Barrowman?
Barrowman.
Barrowman. Yeah, he would. I think he'd be totally down for that.
I'd be okay with watching him, too, because he is a good looking man.
Oh, I can't get into that either. Never mind. Oh, no, that's not a spoiler. I was going to say The Face of Bo, but that's not a spoiler. That's
my God, Face of Bo!
It's like season two. So. I'm telling you. Okay, so I'll say this, and then we'll move on.
That this is above my head right now, because I don't have to have my brain explode like JD
did. If you haven't seen the reaction video from John Barrowman learning he's the Face of Bo, go to YouTube and watch that. It's pretty epic to hear him talk about him learning that that's what's going on.
Oh, dude, it was when I heard that, like, Vicky and I did the...
Yeah.
What? Yeah, it was so great. Oh, my God, this show's so... There's so much win. There's so much win.
Outside of that, I'm trying to figure out what else I've been... I don't think I've been doing much else. Oh, I converted my wife to Android. She finally got her S4. She was on iOS.
Good for her.
So...
Yay.
She doesn't dislike her iPhone. That's air quotes, by the way. She just wanted a change. So she went.
So you got her a okay, it's cool, dude. Yeah. I didn't know that that's how y'all changed was you get from decent to shitty. So
yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Sure. Sure. The S4 rocks it out. That's all I'm going to say. And she loves the app Themer. I think we've talked about it in the past where you can completely customize the way your home screen looks. She's loving that right now. So
I think we should just keep talking about pop culture topics and add enough search engine things to our life.
Yes. That's...
dude, have you read our show descriptions?
Oh, it's great.
It's like Doctor Who, Android, Apple.
Yes.
We just have the tag cloud at the bottom of every post. Actually, it's not a bad idea, Budlong. Why aren't we doing that?
I don't know. let's talk off air about that.
How do we get you to find our show?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to go to Pensacola. A guy that works for Android Central just posted a picture of his wife's pumpkin cheesecake with ginger snap crust, and I'm ready to drive 45
minutes.
I'm
on my way. Let's go.
Anyway,
so my sister-in-law studied culinary arts, and she's like been baking since 12 o'clock today. Apparently, she made me like a chocolate ganache cherry pie thing for my birthday.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
With it's whatever, man. It's
We've discussed my wife's allergies in the past a little bit. No lactose and no eggs, and she decided that she was not satisfied with not having half of the Thanksgiving dinner, so she made some of it for herself to bring so she can have vegan pumpkin pie. We haven't tried it yet. She baked it earlier, and it was cooling down. So it has no eggs and no lactose. And it took like 2.5 hours to bake instead of like 45 minutes. So we're trying to – we don't know how it turned out.
I have to go on record to the interworld and tell you guys how good of a cook or a baker, whatever she wants to be called, that his wife is. She is amazing. Like the best food, some of the best sweets and bakes, whatever I've ever had. Amazing stuff.
Speaking of food, I've actually now have Rachel scared for next year because I've been wanting to try this for a while. I have been, because I am, contrary to what Rachel likes everybody to believe, I am not a bad cook. And I am going to try it. at least the turkey next Thanksgiving. I have a recipe from Alton Brown that I'm going to try next year.
Hey, dude, that if you follow the guy's recipes, then I don't know how you can fail, because he makes it not only simple, but he explains what's going on.
I didn't tell Rachel what, like, whose it was, and I looked at her. I go, I want to cook the turkey next year. She goes, okay. I look at her in the middle of Target.
No, you were walking through freaking Target, and he looks at me. He goes, honey. Yes, dear. Can I ask you something? Sure. Next year for Thanksgiving, I want to cook. You want what? I want to stop dead in the middle. What? I want to cook the turkey. What? And I just kind of stood there for a minute, and I went, okay, what prompted this?
I've legitimately been thinking about it for, you know, a while now, but like, and I looked at her after that, I go, I'm going to need a bucket, and she goes, what?
I'm like,
you're going to brine it?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the one that he wants to do requires him to have a, whatchamacallit? Grill to smoke it onto, and I'm like, we're gonna have to change that.
He's like, we need a bucket and a grill.
And a grill.
And the grill has to have so many cubic inches, so it's gonna be about $6,000. So we're gonna have to jump
on. You're out of luck.
All right, so I have to say that tomorrow I'm using my oilless fryer for the second year in a row to fry a turkey for Thanksgiving.
Oilless fryer?
Yeah, that's what I said, but evidently it works really well.
Yeah, you've had. Didn't I give you a piece of, or was that Gabe?
That must have been Gabe. It was not.
Yeah, dude. I'll see if
Don't worry, it'll be in his beard for a couple more months.
Yeah.
I'll just pick a piece out later.
In the middle of recording, how Stacks just reach in there, pull it out.
Dude, I'm telling you, right Chianti. Now it is so good, man. Like an oilless fryer, because it's a healthy way to fry it, but it's like, it crisps it up. It's just good, man. And like, I will get up tomorrow at like 7 o'clock in the morning, put it in there, and then just let it cook and eat at about like 2. It'll be amazing.
It's gonna be glorious.
Actually, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'll send you guys some pics, and then me eating it, and then me pooping it, and then you guys, you know, that way you get the whole
I can probably
the whole
do it without the fecal matter, but yeah.
Gross. No thanks on the fecal.
Ah, just kidding. Hold the fecal. Just kidding.
I'll take some turkey. Hold the fecal. So.
Hold the shit. I want the turkey.
Yep.
All right. Show title.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm playing with the doc.
What? All
right.
Do we have everybody's talked at this point? Correct.
Have you been up to anything else this week?
Actually, you know, just been moving. I did a video audition that Jared helped me with that I'm kind of keeping on the down low, because it's like got the potential to be the coolest shit ever, or just something cool that I got to do.
Is it turkey shit?
It is.
Yes. Yes.
It is. I auditioned for the part of shit in the epic film Turkey Shit. So we'll see how that
works
out.
Follow up to that free chickens or free bird or whatever.
Actually,
it's
the sequel to Hot Chick. So
are you shitting me?
Right, it is.
Lampoon's Thanksgiving Vacation 2014.
If you guys could give me a couple minutes, I have a baby emergency, and I will be right back. Is that cool?
Well, we're gonna go ahead and move on into the break.
Before we go on the break, then I will say this: there is an app that I got for iOS. It's called Pocket, and it's amazing. So if you guys have ever been on Twitter and you're scrolling through and you see a link and you like you want to read it, save it for later, whatever. Just hold the link down, it pulls it up, you put your little pocket button, and it sends it to this little storage, and I'm sure you guys have other apps that are like it. But it's yeah, so it's other apps are out there like it, but it is so much awesome.
Like you're describing Push Bullet.
Well, yeah. You know what? It's called Pocket on my phone, and I love it. So
and it used
anyway.
To be called Read It Later, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, now because those all died, it's now Pocket. Shut your face. Anyway, I gotta go. I'll be right back after the break.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna do some words and pay some bills, and are we gonna do a song or no?
Because the post thing is a little longer, probably not.
All right, no problem. Yep, we're gonna do some ads, and I'm gonna go get me some water because my throat hurts, and because Tranny's in the Outback, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Tweaked Audio. They've got 7 great styles. They've got 7 great colors. Well, technically 6. And then they have wood. I don't call that a color. Maybe you do. Mic'd and non-mic'd versions. They're designed to sound great for music and talk, like podcasts. Engineered for durability, they've got a noise-reducing design, compatible with iPods, iPhones, Android devices, and all MP3 players and most phones. Don't forget you get 1/3 off of your order. That's right, you get 30% off. Just use the discount code GEEK. Oh, and one more thing. They've got free shipping. Find them at www.geek-io.com/tweaked.
ProXPN. ProXPN is a super secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to. By encrypting all traffic that goes through it, it keeps all of your data private. Your IP is completely hidden, so your location is secure and appears wherever you want it to. Keeps you safe from all of those silly Cable 6 strike rules, and more. Keep your traffic safe. Go to proxpn.com and use Geek20 for 20% off of their already really low prices starting at $6.25 a month. We want to thank ProXPN for your support of the Geek.io network.
Hey, this is Willis for How It Stacks, where we watch and rate all the TV shows, movies, video games, toys, and music that you grew up with to see how they stack up as an adult.
Every 2 weeks, we get together, get drunk, and cover topics such as
Voltron,
the WWF,
Mega Man,
Escape from New York,
Escape from LA,
The Labyrinth,
and The Dark Crystal.
Tune in to How It Stacks on the Geek.io Podcast Network every 2 weeks, where we get shit-faced and talk about the nerdiest topics that can come to mind.
My name's Willis.
And I am JD for How It Stacks.
Say you could go.
What? Did you think no one was watching? You lot.
Yes.
Back here now. Okay. Now I've done it.
Did he just bring them back?
I'm the Doctor.
Doctor? What Doctor? Doctor who?
I'm a Time Lord. I'm from the planet Gallifrey in the constellation of Castorberus. I'm 903 years old, and I'm the man who's going to save your lives and all 6 billion people on the planet below. You got a problem with that?
No.
In that case...
Hi, Halsey.
Where are you? They're all here. All of them. All for you. What could you possibly be?
700 years, finally, he asks.
For what I call you?
I think you call me... sexy.
Only when we're alone.
We are alone.
Huh. Come on, you sexy.
Don't blink. Don't even blink. Blink and you're dead.
Welcome back. Bud Long doesn't listen and ruin my shtick.
What are you talking about?
Read the chat.
What chat? Oh, see, I don't have the chat open. I got some other stuff. I've got other stuff open. Sorry.
Ruined my shtick.
I can insert an edit.
No, because it's not just that.
Okay.
So I'm going to pretend like I didn't actually hear that and say something awesome happened this weekend. Something that we've been waiting a long time for. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the most amazing thing ever happened.
My little pony, my little pony.
Oh, yeah. Season 4, baby.
What? What the heck? You could have transitioned that one so much better. Like, speaking of Doctor Who, guess what else happened this week?
Yeah, it was going to be a really easy transition until somebody didn't pay attention to the chat and always gets on my case for not paying attention to the chat.
Yeah, I have it disabled so I don't get distracted with Rachel pictures. I blame your wife.
Hey, no, it does not work like that. I have not posted any kind of indecent pictures in like a month now. You should be friggin' impressed.
Yeah, but the chat's closed all the time, so I don't know that.
Oh, see, that's your own damn fault.
Oh, come on. All right.
I've been a good doobie. I have not done anything indecent or inappropriate.
My little pony, my little pony.
I'm waiting for
Jamie. Seriously? That's what we're going to do? Okay. Sorry.
All right.
I think Willis has a little call in here. He wants to say something about that.
It's a little hippy dippy.
Well, all right. This is
so
DJ.
The main reason why we are having a show on the night before Thanksgiving.
Because we canceled last week and we felt really bad about it?
Well, that, and also it's our 100th flagship episode. Yay, us.
Yippee!
I say flagship episode because obviously we're only on episode 40 of the Geek.io show, but before the Geek.io show existed, I'm stalling for JD, by the way. We had a show called Tadpole Tech. It's where I met Budlong, where I met Azevedo. It started off with me and Tom Silk.
Love affair started.
And... spinning off of the group that we all belong to, that is a spinoff of another podcast network from the Frog Pants community. And that went a certain amount of episodes. And between this and when we spun off and did Rant and Review, but since I'm counting that as a flagship show because it took this time slot, we are at 100 episodes.
Woohoo! Now, I wasn't here for all 100, but whatever. I can still celebrate.
Hell, I wasn't here for all 100, technically. I missed 10 or so.
Well, I mean, I wasn't... I didn't start until somewhere in the 25 or 30s.
You were... Well, no, you were... you actually started the second to last episode of Tadpole Tech, I think?
No.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, you were on the tail end of Tadpole Tech as Avito started in the 20s.
Why did I think... Man, I'm mixing up my own... Like, all the Jareds. How did that work out?
You Jareds are confusing.
You're the 12th Jared, who is sometimes referred as the 13th Jared.
You're right.
Azevedo is the 10th Jared, who may or may not be the 14th Jared.
If you're not a Who fan, you are super confused right now.
It's all wibbly-wobbly, Jaredy-Wardy stuff.
I think I have timey-wimey somewhere, but I don't know where that clip is. It'll be all right.
We made it to 100, and obviously, you know, there's been Disney Geek.io stuff and Comic Geek.io stuff, and directly under the Geek.io banner we have, you know, How It Stacks and stuff like that, but those aren't flagship shows because they are their own separate entity. As per the flagship shows, we are at 100. Yeah, yes. So that is what I'm thankful for. And since we are still waiting for JD, Budlong, what are you thankful for?
I am thankful, obviously, for being able to breathe and not be in the hospital. I've got friends who evidently just got admitted yesterday, and I still don't know why.
Oh, yikes.
I don't know what's going on there. And people getting out of the hospital, which is kind of cool. A friend of ours, daughter, I think she's 12 or so, just got out of the hospital for her legs were going. Not bow-legged, not chicken-legged, but like where your feet grow out, I guess, too far. Like instead of your feet being straight like this, they were like that.
Outwards. I know what it is because I actually had it. I had braces on my legs from the time I was like 7 months old until I was a year and a half.
Yeah, I think they broke her legs and then re-put them back together at the different rotation. So those were crazy extreme. If I'm remembering the story correctly. Anyway, so I'm happy. I have good health. I've got a great wife and a kid, and we're all happy and healthy outside of weird ear tube issues, which is almost common for kids these days. So
yeah,
it's more common in boys.
Yeah, yeah. Poo-poo.
It's a man thing. You don't hear right anyway.
Right. So that's why I don't hear half of what gets said. I never had my tubes in when I was a kid. So it's not my fault.
Boys get tubes in their ears and girls get their tubes tied. You know, that's how it goes. They get tubes put in, they have tubes taken out.
Oh, man.
Seems legit. Works for me.
That's sure. Why not? Why not?
Rachel, what do you think before us here?
Oh, I'm thankful the semester's almost over. It has been a semester from hell. Actually, as strange as it sounds, I'm thankful for the fact that my mother-in-law finally decided that she hates Ohio. And I'm thankful I don't have to do this for much longer.
All right. Who's playing Doctor Who?
That would be JD. I guess he's back, and he wants us to stop talking about... stop talking about Thanksgiving, so we're going to talk about our real subject.
My little pony, my little pony.
I'm getting you, JD, other than your Doctor Who. I see your mouth moving.
And yes, thank you, Hasbro, for giving me permission to use that, by the way.
How are y'all?
I tried to have a cool entrance where I played like the I Am the Doctor theme, and you know, my damn mic wasn't working, and as soon as I got it to work, the wife walked in to talk to me about something that happened with the baby. That's exactly what I said. That's my O face is what that is.
Your Geronimo face?
Yeah.
Geronimo. Oh, my God. We were just at Starbucks, and they have their own Keurig-type thing called a Verissimo or whatever it's called. And I looked at it, and I look at Rachel, and I go, why does that look like a word that the 11th Doctor would say when he's completely drunk?
Yeah.
Verissimo!
Right? Stuff taken care of. Real quick, have you ever had the power? Like, my AC unit melted an outlet.
Power of Grayskull.
Yeah, blew the fuse in my room.
Sorry, I thought we were referencing the labyrinth. I just.
I have the power.
What power?
The power of the babe.
What babe?
The babe with the power.
Power of what?
Power of voodoo.
I do voodoo, you do voodoo, what?
And we will jump into what we were actually here for, because I'm not going to ask you.
What?
So, Budlong,
yeah.
If you please.
Do we want to do the full thing or just the other warning?
Just do the other warning.
Okay. For reference, if you don't get this, then it won't matter.
Spoilers.
Yes. We are going to completely and totally spoil the ever-living hell out of the Doctor Who 50th anniversary. It's been a while since we've done a geek out like this, quote, rant and review. But if you don't want to be spoiled about the 50th anniversary for Doctor Who, or you don't care, thank you for joining us. Feedback at geek-io.com. We love you. See you next week.
However, if you're going to stick around with us, get ready for season.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome. The 50th anniversary of Doctor Who occurred on Saturday. And yeah. It's called The Day of the Doctor, and it is starring the, quote, 11th Doctor, the, quote, 10th Doctor, and the, quote, War Doctor, who is Matt Smith, David Tennant, and John Hurt, respectively.
Now, CJ, before you go ahead and start doing that...
Yes. Are we going to play the game?
I'm going to make you play a game with me.
All right.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to make him work for this.
I'm glad the camera's off. This could get awkward.
I wish I had a zipper thing close to me.
Now, I actually just found a full list of the transitions, too. So I have from 1 through 11, plus the War Doctor, and you have to name them in order for 1.
Chronological occurring, or that we've seen?
That can be chronological occurring.
Chronological. I want the most part. First Doctor, Second Doctor, Third Doctor.
Okay, I can name these. First Doctor, Second Doctor, Third Doctor, Fourth Doctor, Fifth Doctor.
No.
The Doctor turned into the Doctor, who turned into the Doctor, who turned into the Doctor,
who then turned into the Doctor. Who turned into the Doctor, who might have turned into the War Doctor at this point, or maybe it was after the next Doctor. I'm not quite sure, but we'll get that right.
Wait. But then the Doctor turned into Doctor Who?
Yeah.
As we all know, the 12, quote, air quote, 12 Doctor is Peter Capaldi. So obviously I'm not going to ask CJ that, because I can even pull him out of thin air and know his name. Although I do like to call him Craig Ferguson.
Yes.
I'm sorry, he looks just friggin' like him. Okay. Name of the first Doctor, CJ.
I can give you the last names of most of them, because a lot of the first names, I can barely remember first names of
first,
people in my house.
First, if you can remember last name, although okay. with two
I know
Doctors.
Two of them. I know,
nope.
And I know their names. I know okay. their full names.
Okay. I was going to say, with two of them, you don't have a choice. You have to give me the right first name.
William Hartnell.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Troughton.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a fan of three. Pertwee?
Yes.
Tom Baker,
mm-hmm.
who was my doctor.
Who you didn't recognize when we were watching Dave.
Yeah,
Parker.
I know. I
what?
Know, I know.
Yes, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I know who it is. I know who
I know,
who
I'm
who
like,
is. Like,
I don't know who
like,
I know.
Like, voice
no,
or
I said
face?
I know who that is. Face.
Okay. That's, I'm sorry, but man.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, because he's like, do you know who it was? And I looked at him, I went, your doctor? And he went, number five.
I really did not like five at all, because I was that fan at the time. Davidson?
Yes.
Holy shit. Colin Baker.
Yes.
I don't remember the seventh.
Oh, that's, come on.
He died in San Francisco during exploratory heart surgery.
I know his first name. I'm trying to remember his last name. His first name is, can I go for it?
If you give me a first name, I'm going to be able to.
It's Sylvester and then like Coy or something.
Nope. McCoy.
McCoy, okay.
And then there's.
That was your phone a friend, by the way. You have.
Yes.
you have ask the audience, and then we have. What's the next one? 50-50.
Yeah. And then there was. I had his freaking name.
You already had call a friend, and I know this one too. So.
You already phoned your friend, so
you can
no,
ask the audience.
I had it, and then like the phone a friend threw my mentality off.
Would you like a hint?
I just watched him in Night of the Doctor too. Crap.
Supposedly crappy '90s movie. Come on now.
Oh, I know it's 1996. Doctor Who movie. He was just in Night of the Doctor. Showed his actual generation.
Yep.
The
ship crashed on planet Karn, where the Sisterhood of Karn revived
Karn,
the Doctor.
Let him drink the thingy.
And offered him an elixir that allowed him to choose the characteristics.
So if I'm listening right now, do I count as the audience?
Yes, you count as the audience.
McGann, or McGann.
Oh, Paul McGann.
Yeah.
And then the ninth quote doctor is John Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eccleston, Tennant, Smith, Capaldi.
Yep. And actually, you put the War Doctor exactly where he is listed on here, so I am quite impressed with that.
That's, I mean, he's going by actual regeneration order, so that works.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I missed two.
Hey, two out of 13. You got much better than I did. I knew Hartnell, I knew Tom Baker, Sylvester McCoy, and then McGann, Hurt, Eccleston, Smith, or Eccleston, Tennant, and Smith. Yeah, and then the quote-unquote modern.
So, yeah, that's my... That
oh,
is me
that'd be impressive.
And no, I'm not looking at anything that would show the list, or else I would have been able to take it much better than that. But
yeah, I mean, the only ones that I can list is I know Tom Baker only because of the damn scarf.
Yeah, scarf. So you went from grandpa to clown to angry to scarf to blondie to very angry / manipulative to I think controlling to movie.
Sylvester McCoy wasn't controlling, was it? I've only seen like one episode with him. I don't remember.
Like, I don't.
I saw the.
The main doctors that I remember a lot of are what I did watch of Hartnell's, and then Tom Baker. I watched a bit of Colin Baker, and I watched the movie once.
I really kind of want to go watch it just to see more of Paul McGann.
I'm wondering if it's on UK Netflix or iPlayer.
I haven't checked. Pro XPN, though, I might be able to do that later. So, shameless plug.
Rachel kind of blew my mind after... let's go ahead and before we get into the
Wait,
notes.
What did I do?
Let's go ahead and talk about the episode. Or the episode.
The 50th.
I want to know what I did. No.
50th. No, the first note on the list here.
Oh, okay, that one.
I don't think I have that list y'all are looking
at. It's on the notes for the show.
I don't have the show notes.
Okay, we'll check the chat for the Hangout.
Ah, yes, about the official numbers.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and talk about it, and then we'll discuss, because...
Matt Smith has always been referred to as...
We're going to do that after. I was going to discuss the episode first.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the rest of it won't make any sense if we do this out of context.
It's a little bit of wibbly wobbly timey wimey shenanigans.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Why must we resort to toddler speech?
At the end of season 7, Clara, the Impossible Girl, went through all of the Doctor's lives, helping each of them when they needed her the most. Until she came across an incarnation that was in a formerly time-locked state, so she could not get to him until she actually went into the Doctor's consciousness, which is also the TARDIS's consciousness, if you follow the canon of why the TARDIS is the Doctor and why the Doctor is the TARDIS, which happened at the end of the Ninth Doctor. Ninth. Eccleston. God damn it, Moffat.
Okay, my mind's getting a little nerd blown. What?
Yeah,
what?
You haven't seen... See, okay, this is why I was confused why you were still coming on, because you didn't catch up to all the seasons, and then you watched the 50th. So your mind got blown from the 50th without even knowing a lot of the stuff that's... And I say a lot. Yeah. A lot of the major twists.
The consequences of, at the end of Eccleston's run, absorbing the Time Force, the consequences of that is he absorbed the TARDIS and then injected himself and the TARDIS back into the TARDIS.
I remember that. You're absolutely right. Okay.
So, he re-TARDIS'd himself?
Yes, he re-TARDIS'd himself.
Jeez.
And Clara does some stuff with the TARDIS that actually makes her go into the heart of the TARDIS, which is now also the being of the Doctor, because they are now one.
Hence why he calls it sexy. Oh.
Exactly. And goes through and helps all of the Doctor's previous incarnations and lands in the mindscape of the Doctor, and they find this, quote, Doctor who cannot use the name the Doctor, played by John Hurt. And then all of us went, what? And... all of us did a bunch of research, and pretty much every Whovian in the universes went into the internets of their individual universes and tried to figure out what the hell is going on. Like, because Moffat is very good at one thing in particular, which is pulling stuff out of, like, classic Doctor and then making it more relevant now. He loves doing that. And so all of us are like, all right, there has to be something. And, like, maybe the Burnt Trouton episodes that... Nope, nothing. And so on the 50th anniversary, they'd explored the day of the Doctor, the day that the Doctor could no longer use the name Doctor. The last day of the Time War, the great war between the Gallifreyan planet race things and the trash buckets with strings that used to not be able to go down the upstairs, also known as the Daleks.
I am still never.
Who met. In Rachel's mind sound like the frickin' Cybermen?
Which they don't. That's okay.
They don't. But I don't. I don't. I'm not intimidated like by the Daleks. Just not. Sorry.
The lore behind them is a lot more fluffed up than what they actually look like.
Right.
So when back season 5, when they reinvent the Daleks, instead of, you know, making them like leg-based creatures or, you know, four-legged creatures or even like floaty ghosty creature, it's something more intimidating. They're like, check out the new Daleks. They're white, red, yellow, and blue.
Yeah, you got Easter egg Daleks. You have the Power Ranger Daleks.
I was like, now, like, they went from being like the creepiest fuckers in the universe to hipsters.
Go, like, Power Daleks.
That's what they're doing.
Funny.
I'm just
okay.
Waiting for them to turn into giant coffee makers.
Yeah.
So
it's exterminate your Starbucks.
Before I forget, the Dalek,
Tyrannosaurus Daleks.
The Dalek sound I used for the intro, the exterminate part, was actually a clip from a live display of a Dalek, but it had the guy who does their voice, and he was actually yelling exterminate at Prince Charles, who then came around and then actually got to say exterminate nice. And then say you are all our prisoners through the microphone and sound like a Dalek, and it was hilarious.
Oh my god.
Because you could see his hesitation. Like, if you watch the video, you see Prince Charles' hesitation. He's like 70 or however old he is. It's a recent video. That's probably going to insult somebody, but whatever. He's older. It's not an older video. It's recent. But anyways, he's holding the microphone. They're like, yeah, just say it in the microphone. You can see his hesitation until he says it, and then he gets giddy and is like, exterminate. And then somebody, one of the reporters or somebody is like, now just say you are all our prisoners. And he hesitates and like gets giddy again and then says it. It's freaking hilarious. Anyway.
Apparently, like, the royal family is a Doctor Who is a huge thing in the UK, like even up to the royal level.
It as it should be.
Sorry, I'm hearing things in my house.
It's called a TV, and it's on in the other room.
Oh. Yeah. So we start the episode off with Matt Smith being Matt Smith, which is nothing wrong with that.
I told your dad years ago I don't like being picked up. That probably sounded a lot better in his own head.
All right. You know, forget going through the plot. We're just going to geek out about this. First things first is Rachel blew my mind with Stephen Moffat, who is now the showrunner, and he's also going to be the showrunner through Peter Capaldi's era. How the actual now numbering happens. Because the reason why we keep saying quotes around the 9th Doctor, 10th Doctor, 11th Doctor, is because it's the 9th, 10th, and 11th actor playing these guys at the time. And the Day of the Doctor completely explodes us by introducing Paul McGann's regeneration, which is not Christopher Eccleston. During the Time War, which, you know, was a horrible thing, and, you know, space and time itself was being used as weapons. And this is a war that was simultaneously taking place over every era ever, because, you know, timey-wimey.
It's like, that explains everything. Well, I remember watching The Night of the Doctor, that like 8-minute short or whatever, where he becomes the 9th Doctor before Eccleston is born, the guy who takes over in this
Correct.
Movie. Yeah.
He is the 9th Doctor.
And how, like, that girl is like, you know what? I would rather die than be with a Time Lord. You guys are fucking shit up for everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, and it was very reminiscent of the Jedi and the hatred that people had for the Jedi for always bringing the Sith around and, like, mm-hmm. causing that galactic conflict. It was a really, really, really awesome, you know, parallel that kind of mimicked those universes, which was really, really cool, man. But to see the hatred and fear that she had for the Time Lords was ridiculous.
Yeah. sorry.
Okay, so speaking of all the doctors and whether they are or what order they're coming in, there's a comment on that article on IGN, and somebody's talking about characters being canon, and somebody said the War Doctor is not canon. No one is a canon. Learn to spell. They put an extra N in it. Freaking hilarious.
Nice.
Sorry.
Well, if anybody is canon in that sense, it would be the War Doctor.
Yeah. Right. I just thought it was
funny. If in that sense of the word, if anybody was that, it would be him. But John Hurt is now officially the 9th Doctor. Regardless of how you want to be
it's officially unofficial because...
Well, Moffat is the showrunner. Moffat is the man running the bit.
The reason why I say it's officially unofficial is because it has been stated by the show creator. However, it has not been clarified within the show itself.
They probably will with the...
They finally do it within the show itself, then they can say, hey, look, he's officially the 9th Doctor. But until then, it's always a whole, it was stated it was. It just hasn't been shown that it was.
Okay, with that, if Doctor Who fans can accept graphic novels, like most of the 6th Doctor's adventures are captured in graphic novel form, because the 6th Doctor was the one who was canceled.
Yes.
In the middle of his run. So if they can accept the fact that the Doctor was running around with a fucking shapeshifter who stayed in the form of a damn penguin for hundreds of years.
What?
And they can accept the fact that, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Then they can accept that John Hurt's doctor is the ninth doctor.
Yes, but you and I both know that there's always going to be that purist that goes, well, technically, he hasn't officially said it in the show.
And they didn't say that, you know, Colin Ferguson.
Oh, that's too good.
Success is mine.
That's too good.
They haven't officially said that Colin Baker was the doctor for a bunch of years and ran around with a shape-shifting penguin. They accept that as canon. But this is the problem that I have with fandoms. This is in general. Fandoms suck. Because, and yes, I'm in the Doctor Who fandom, and I'm in the Disney fandom, and I even made a tweet earlier about my weirdness with the Disney fandom now, and Mickey Mouse's now regular showiness.
Oh my god, let's not even, no, we're not going to
wow,
that.
Wow, that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
That's a whole other tangent. That's a beast.
I would talk about that on Disney Geek IO, but there's going to be a lot of cursing involved, so I don't think that's appropriate for that one.
No.
We can always put in a little
that.
Bleep.
A lot of bleeps.
Or mousing bleeps.
No, because it's a comic, we can use Dale's doing sound. I'm like, doing.
Yes, that'll work.
Sorry.
Wait, are you insinuating that he's... Never mind, I'm not even going to go there. Continuing on with Dr.
But, okay, so John Hurt's doctor is the now ninth doctor, making Christopher Eccleston the tenth doctor, and Tennant the 11th doctor. Now, in the episode Journey's End, David Tennant used quite a bit of his regeneration energy, and thus making him and reincarnated and regenerated into himself, because, you know, David Tennant was way too popular to leave at the time. But making Matt Smith's doctor the 13th doctor. Now, the doctor can only regenerate 12 times according to show lore. But that being said, the way around that would be Matt Smith's doctor is the 12th doctor, because it is the 12 actual body transformations. Crunch, 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 crunch.
I concur.
Wow. Thanks, JD.
Obviously, he's doing research for the next How It Stacks.
No, I'm looking up.
I'm going to stack these chips.
They're snow peas. I'm so sorry. I would watch the audio, like, on my little buzzer here or whatever, like, shoot up, and I'd chew slower.
Hey, there's a little icon at the top that looks like a microphone.
You can mute your microphone.
It does this.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually looking up what you were talking about, and like about the shows, the Sixth Doctor being canceled, and trying to find the lore about the 12 regeneration cycles.
The 12 regeneration, it's been stated over and over again that Gallifreyan can only regenerate 12 times. Now, like I said, they can get away with, you know, Matt Smith being the quote 13th doctor, but it's only his 12th body change.
How?
Because Tennant during Journey's End uses up enough regeneration energy to technically count as a regeneration.
Oh, okay.
They don't ever talk about he doesn't mention River Song and that whole shenanigans, which I can't go into too much detail because JD's here. But the whole,
we've said spoilers. Yeah, but he has no choice in the matter now.
All right, I hate it for him because that's.
See, I'm in the same boat. I haven't seen all of the episodes, so.
So I just muted y'all, so you can probably wave if you can hear me.
No, you try to mute us, but it doesn't work.
All right, so I'm just going to assume that I know what you're talking about and just totally agree. So yeah, River Song blew my mind. It's crazy. When I watched it the first time, it was like slight chubbiness.
You'll forget about it by the time you actually get to that episode.
He's gonna finish in like a week and a half. Don't pretend like he's gonna forget it.
I did.
Anyway, the River Song shenanigans, I they could explain away.
I can't hear a word you're saying. Can you hear me?
Yes, maybe? I can hear you.
Is that working?
Yeah.
A little
scratching. Yeah.
Shut up, JD.
So you can the River Song story arc and what happens in Hitler episode. We're doing Breaking Bad again.
I don't remember the Hitler episode.
Are we seriously going to Breaking Bad this?
You don't remember the Hitler episode?
sure I would, but I don't remember it was the Hitler episode.
It's Let's Go Kill Hitler. That's the name of it.
Oh,
I don't remember that at all.
Wow.
You don't remember. Oh man. Okay, JD, I'm sorry, but you don't remember the poison lip, like poison ivy, like type kiss thing with the doctor?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Wow. Okay. Do you remember the episode? It's the same episode, but where they encounter the alien time travelers that are inside of a suit that can replicate anybody else.
What?
CJ.
Are you talking about the astronaut?
No. Well, but how they get there, where they get that from, is the Hitler episode.
Okay. I might have missed that one.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So JD, close your ears for like 30 seconds.
Just point when you're ready for me.
Okay. I mean, honestly, I don't, even though I haven't seen that episode, I don't care if you spoil it for me.
Well, that's okay. So, in that episode, that's the episode we see River Song attempt to kill the doctor the first time with a poison kiss. And then she gives up her regenerations, supposedly her future regenerations to save the doctor.
But River Song is not a Time Lord, though.
How did you miss that? She was born of the TARDIS and has regeneration powers.
That whole weird thing. But then that makes incest, and that's weird.
Incest? Where do you get incest from?
Again, the Doctor is the TARDIS.
No. She has those that
the Doctor's the regeneration. Screwing his daughter.
Anyway,
but not the doctor's daughter.
Right. That's a whole other. We'll talk about that in a second, because JD can hear that.
Or his granddaughter.
He's actually dying, and she gives up her future regenerations, and it's stated to save
him. I know that one.
Okay, she saves him with her future regenerations. So they could explain all of this with just saying, River Song fixed all that. So anyway, JD. Yeah.
Or also the Sisterhood of Karn's magic juice.
Could have been a non-regeneration. Right. That was my other.
Or it could have reset his regenerations. We could have 12 more doctors.
That's a good call.
It wouldn't be 12 more doctors. It would be X amount after him.
Well, like, yes.
10 so more 11 after him.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, because she said that we've mastered the Gallifreyan regeneration energy.
Mastered or edited or changed or enhanced or something.
Yeah. But then that still makes a weirdness in the fact that even after – if that didn't count as a regeneration, then – it shouldn't count as a regeneration at all. So we'd still be at like the eighth doctor because regenerating out of John Hurt, which Eccleston did.
Eccleston's awesome.
Welcome back.
Thanks for the input, JD.
Yeah. Welcome back.
guys never signaled me to come back.
I did.
So I'm just
I pointed straight back at the camera for like 10 seconds.
Anyway. So if we're not going to, again, that brings us to the point of if we're not going to count John Hurt as a doctor, then we can't count any of the modern doctors.
No, I'm not saying we can't count them, but the River Song event could either reset or alter.
You have those two events that can edit however many can.
Right.
Basically, there will be as many retcons and regenerations as there is popular demand for the show.
Well, yes, but they have already built in explanations. It's not comic book writing.
I will say one thing just to interject, and I think this is the point that CJ just made, but it's like. Just to put this in perspective, this was a globally broadcast event that was played not only in the UK, but in movie theaters around the world.
Yeah.
Around the world. Like, let's speak of, like, the Avengers was huge, right? But not everybody tuned in at one single fucking time.
At the same time.
Fucking time to watch this shit. Doctor Who. It's not going anywhere.
My point isn't to say that it's going somewhere. My point is more along the lines of they don't even have to write anything else to make it weird to go, oh, yeah, we didn't think about that. Here's an explanation. Like, they have past events to work off of already.
The writing and the story and the lore is so good on this show. They're never going to do the Gilligan's Island, hey, I need a brass wrench. Well, here's one.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I made one out of coconuts.
Yeah, it's not going to be that way, man. But as we, like...
Well, I mean, even without like the magic juice, heretofore as known as Karn juice,
and, nice, I like it.
Or River Song flashing her magical regenerative labia at him.
That just sounds indecent.
So even without those, I'm sure there's something that was said like back in, you know, Hartnell days that it's like, oh, we could pull on that and suddenly there's a 17th Doctor.
Right.
Well, I mean, I like they're just good about how they do things, man. Like, the big thing that I have to go from is I think about when we're at this conversation is the whole face of Bo, the subtle hints that they drop every now and then about how he's been around so long and it turns mm-hmm. out that it's Jack that was given the, you know, the time force by, you know, Rose and that whole thing. I mean, come on, man. Like, that's just ridiculous.
There are theories that that doesn't have anything to do with Rose, which is crazy. I wish I had a link to that right now. Oh my gosh. There's
how could it not have anything to do with Rose?
There was somebody talking about it, and it's more because of Torchwood and that show, they're saying it's not directly related to Rose because that, man, are you going to watch Torchwood?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, I can't go any further.
For those who haven't watched Torchwood, and I haven't watched Torchwood yet either, I'm going to. Basically, the way, if you're ever wondering what Torchwood is and how you should jump into Torchwood, watch Doctor Who until Blink, which is a tenant episode. After Blink, watch the first season of Torchwood. Then go back and watch the entire rest of Tenant's run. Until before the 11th hour. Then watch the second season of Torchwood, and then go watch the 11th hour, and then go forward from there.
Dude, I when I watched, I just got it. I mean, I will go on record and say that those last two episodes of Tenen's run, where he, like, basically made, he
I don't want to go.
Yeah, like, he, it's so good. He tells everybody he loves them in their own way, and they're happy, and then there's the Rose.
And then I don't want to go. I love, in the 50th episode, the casual Trenzalore. We should change that. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
did you catch his look when Hurt said something about Bad Wolf? He said Bad Wolf Girl, and you saw Tennant go, wait, what? Like, you're mm-hmm. you've been talking to who? Like, can you bring her here? Like, can we do
not
this?
Rose.
Yeah. Dude, that was, oh my gosh, man. And then,
I am happy with the way they used Billy Piper in the show, by
yes,
the way.
Yes.
Oh, I totally am.
Well, it would have opened too many other weird, hard, confusing topics if they'd actually brought her back in, because that's crossing universes again. And the whole point was you can't do that anymore. So it would have been too confusing. And
I mean, it's got to say something about that companion to be the one they call and they're like, hey, look, you've been loved so much by so many people. How would you like to be seen globally? You know, like how would you like your face to keep just going?
Well, she is the one that I think they had the most real, like, character development with. She was a companion of companions, really. Even if you didn't like her, the way that they wrote her into the mythos of Doctor Who makes her a perfect point to bring into. Because, I mean, you couldn't really use any of the old companions as a point of the moment, for the face of the moment.
Right. Yeah.
You could have maybe used Sarah Jane.
Except she died, so there was no way to do that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so cold, dude.
Well, I mean, she died relatively recently, so I mean, there would be no way to do that.
Most of the classic companions are either way too old to be workable or dead.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you basically had two people that you could really use, and one is a lot more obscure than the other. You could have either used Rose, who is a lot more modern, a lot more now, and even though she didn't age as well as she probably should have, still looks a lot like she did back in, you know, 2006.
She's still adorable.
Or you could have used, you know, as somebody else, as a, like, a really, if you could have really pissed off the doctors by using the doctor's daughter. I don't remember the actress's name.
It's
David Tennant's wife.
Yeah, that's a,
but
JD,
I think
she's
pregnant right now.
Did you know that, so, that bit of fun
oh,
stuff?
Oh my god, yeah. By the way, yeah, the episode
really?
Of the doctor's daughter, where the doctor's daughter, David Tennant married that woman, and her father is the fifth doctor.
No, listen. Her father is a doctor. So David Tennant married his daughter, who is also a doctor's daughter, and then they're gonna have a kid. So the doctor's daughter is gonna have a doctor's daughter. It's just, oh my gosh.
And then William Hartnell comes out of the grave and takes her on trips through history.
Yeah.
Boom. Done.
That is so awesome,
it's
man.
So freaking weird. But, oh, man. There's a funny meme that went around with a picture of him and her just, like, walking down the street in London or wherever it was, probably somewhere in Scotland, because London doesn't make sense. Yeah, London doesn't make sense. But anyway, I just said London because I can. It's him and her walking down the street, and then somebody made that meme. They wrote it a lot better than we just said it, but it's like the doctor married the doctor's daughter, who's also having a doctor's daughter, blah blah blah, and made it a really big funny meme. It was good.
Yeah, it was very Doctor Who written. Like that, I read that and it blew my freaking mind. Like, yeah.
I'll try to find a link while we're discussing.
Yeah, her dad is the fifth doctor. So,
wow, like, dude, that's so cool, man.
So you could have used, if you wanted to really focus on modern Who lore, you could have really only used one of those two, or Jack Harkness, but I think Moffat hates Jack Harkness, so...
Jack Harkness, or does he not like the actor? Because I'm confused.
I don't think he particularly likes I don't think he particularly likes Barrowman.
Yeah, and that's... it's sad.
You could have easily had one of those three to be the moment, and it would have had the same effect. But I'm kind of glad. I'm glad that it was Rose. They played her very well.
I don't know, man. I fight you on that. Like I'm thinking about the three people, and out of the three, and the Rose is the only one that makes sense, dude. Like even if I would have saw Jack, even the tiny beef and the tiny issues that the doctor had with Jack.
We're not talking about the doctor. I'm just talking about strictly on a showrunner level. I don't think Stephen Moffat likes John Barrowman. So it's kind of a – because John Barrowman came up on stage at Comic-Con and says, nobody has asked me to come back, and there's only one person that hires actors for Doctor Who right now, and that's Stephen Moffat.
Yeah, it was it was actually – if you go watch that whole thing, you can tell he's – like, he loves the show. Like, he loves the lore and loves being a part of it. But evidently nobody, whoever's in charge of it, so we'll say Moffat at this point, it just doesn't want him back. And they haven't invited him to do anything.
He is the be-all, end-all at this point in time. Yeah. He is the man who hires and fires people. Or you could have used Amy. You could have used Amy Pond as well, which I'm surprised there was no Amy in this at all. I'm surprised there was no Ponds at all involved in this.
The other one, I mean...
That actually made me sad, because I like the Ponds.
Like, even if there was just like, when they were filming, there's a hot redhead there, and then going away.
Get this. speaking of crazy talk, Alabama Connection, Karen Gilliam was filming in freaking Fairhope, Alabama.
What?
Yeah, doing Guardians of the Galaxy, probably.
No, Oculus, some weird supernatural movie. Doesn't make any sense.
Huh.
But it's probably the same time frame, because that was in April they were filming all this stuff. So she was in the U.S., so it may not have worked.
I tell you what sucks is, I got to this whole, the acting thing a day late and a dollar short, and I've, missed all of these, cool things that have happened in this fucking area, her coming to town, shit!
He's like, oh, so I was at
pretty sure we would have wind up with a restraining order. The PTO's first restraining order.
I was at a client's house, and get this, I was at a client's house, and they were their daughter loves Doctor Who, and her door to her room is painted TARDIS blue with the police call box and everything else on there.
Nice.
And the police call box sign is signed by Karen Gilliam, because they live in that town.
Oh,
and she got
wow.
to meet her and brought the little police call box part and got her to sign it. So,
dude, can you imagine being on something that that global of it? I mean, just that scale, dude, would just be so cool, man. So cool.
Yeah, they could have had Rory then,
Right.
Even if it's not, sure it's not hot redheaded chick, but
the story arc, it made more sense for Rose because of the love.
Well, I'm not saying having
it.
I'm not saying having Rory be the moment, but just being like, oh, hey, there's Rory.
Oh, you might just like a cameo. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, it just kind of made me sad that there was no Ponds at all involved in that. I can understand having no River, because that would have been weird, especially with the 10th Doctor marrying Queen Elizabeth and then River Song.
Somebody would have died.
I would have loved to have seen River Song versus Queen Elizabeth I.
that somebody's head would
my
have rolled.
My money would actually have to be on the queen.
She was
just ballsy.
Yeah.
She killed a Zygon, so.
Yep. And the comment that she makes of they're stupid enough to think that a feeble woman couldn't defeat their
leader. Yeah.
How did she put it? Yeah, a feeble woman couldn't defeat their commander.
Yeah.
Like, well, and she's like, well, that was a feeble woman too. So guess who won?
And they, the whole tenant doctor reference to her horse breath. Freaking hilarious. It's like, I know you're not the real Elizabeth. You have breath that would knock out a horse or something along those lines. So good.
Okay.
Sorry.
It brings me directly back to my point of you give Tennant the opportunity to do anything remotely Shakespearean, he's going to take it. Those damn horses. What is it with Tennant and horses? I just actually recently watched the whole horse on the spaceship thing with Madame de Pompadour.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And such I'm like, I just recently watched that, and I'm like, oh, God, this freaking horse again.
Dude, when I originally went through that my first run, I was like, this guy is just made of. He's so good. I love everything that he touches and does.
Right.
He is. I keep wanting to like. I hate Eccleston for really making me use the word fantastic far too much now.
It's fantastic.
I had to look for which version to use for my intro, and I had to pick between like 12, and I caught myself the last couple of days just saying fantastic a lot more than I would.
Well, it's like it's just like picking which fantastic you want to use for Eccleston. It's like using which word of bitch you want to use from Jesse Pinkman.
Oh yeah, bitch. Oh dude,
biatch.
Yeah.
But it this episode was so good. Like, it was, and this is coming from a person who was an old school Doctor Who fan. I don't hate Moffat for destroying the quote canon of Doctor Who, and it is so hard to call anything canon in Doctor Who considering the history of the show.
All right, you have to describe what you mean. What did he destroy? Because I'm new to the Who.
Well, mainly the whole introducing John Hurt into it. At all. Technically, it like dismantles a lot of canon because of the whole 12 regenerations and
right.
Blah, 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 blah. So you asked a question in the pre-show, JD, of why does he get older? Why is Peter Capaldi so much older than Matt Smith?
Yeah.
And, okay, since the Time War happened, you had three progressively younger doctors.
Yep.
You had, Eccleston and his giant Dumbo ears.
Yep.
Regenerating into Straw Man, who transformed into teenager with a glass jaw, with a diamond jaw.
I'm gonna say Chin Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sand Shoes and Grandpa, and Sand Shoes and Dickie Bo.
Yeah.
What do they call him? Jaw guy or something like that? Or Chinny?
Chinny. That Chinny sounds good.
But Chin. So during those three regenerations, Eccleston, Tennant, and Smith, he has been trying to run away from his actions at the Time War. Okay. Smith is the only one who will remember anything with this. And now he doesn't have to run away anymore. He doesn't have to forget. He doesn't have to regret anything. He doesn't have to keep trying to run away from his past. He has matured. He has matured exponentially, even in that one moment, enough to not have to keep running backwards in time.
But there is a tidbit in the episode where it's at the very end, basically, and John Hurt says, I guess it's time to grow up. Because he's been continually going away from being an adult and making that harsh decision to kill off an entire species. Right. He's been progressively getting further away from that adult making decision point. He's over that as Smith, who now remembers everything, and Tennant and Eccleston and Hurt don't because of the weird flux in time and the whatever timey-wimey ball of shenanigans. Smith now knows, and then when he regenerates, he no longer has to be
young.
Yeah, young, fighting. He can be an adult again.
You're muted, dear.
Oh, wow, okay.
He's no longer bound by the faults of his past, so he can actually grow beyond them instead of regressing.
And, oh my God, that shot of Capaldi's eyes, man.
Right.
The one shot, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be awesome.
Staring into the pits of my soul. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. It was kind of sexy, I'm not going to lie.
What? Did I miss something?
Capaldi. So they're in the scene where all the doctors are using their Tardi. Where all of the Tardi are surrounding
Which
Gallifrey.
Which is the name of my Orko cousin fanfic.
Okay, so they're showing all the doctors, and obviously they're having to use old footage for the first, you know, nine, or, man, whatever.
Nine.
The first nine in progressive actor order.
First nine actors.
Yeah, the first nine actors. This is going to get so dumb.
Dude, it's so hard to talk
about
this.
They're using old footage, but for anyone who is currently involved and not wanting to be a part of the show still, Eccleston, curse you, they can use new footage. They got obviously Tennant and Smith and Hurt, and then they got one shot of Capaldi as the 13th.
Just like glaring look.
Just like, man.
And I love that's all they could. That's all they needed though. You couldn't give anything more than that because you don't want to reveal his costume.
Right.
You don't want to reveal anything like that. You don't even want to reveal that to be his facial hair.
Right.
So, all they could give you was those piercing eyes, and they did. They gave you those piercing eyes, man.
It just – and that obviously points toward the fact that before they even said it was, Matt's gonna remember because obviously Capaldi's there, so Matt has to remember. So there is some continuity between the events of Day of the Doctor and Future Doctor. I'm not even going to number them anymore. We're just going to say either, pre-reboot, or we're going to say we're going to start using last names because that's going to get up.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is why, when everybody's like, you've got to watch Doctor Who. You have to watch Doctor Who. And I'm like, well, tell me about it. And they're like,
yes. They do this.
Well, okay.
They have this conversation, and you go, all right, well, technically he's an alien, but he looks human, but he has two hearts. And if you're not confused yet, we'll go further. Like, okay, he travels through time, but then...
But it depends on which doctor you like, because the other doctors, he's regenerated three times, so there's three different doctors, and they're all by different actors. So if you really like the first doctor, you would love the fourth doctor, because they share the same... And I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about now?
See, that's why I'm like... CJ keeps telling me, well, this doctor and that doctor and blah. I'm like, just let me sit and watch it.
Yeah,
you're not making any fucking sense.
But the thing is I am. I am making complete sense with the show. But that being said, this is the most convoluted show ever.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Dude, what's crazy is how quickly, as a new fan, you adapt to these conversations. Mm-hmm. Like Vicky and I, we'll watch an episode, and we're like, I think Eccleston would have done this.
Right.
I don't think Tennant would have let that happen the way it did. This Matt Smith guy, I think he handled that the right way. I don't know if the other guys would have made that decision. You find yourself having these conversations because you become like Europe the Hoogan. You become part of the culture and the lore. You're like, That's really crazy.
I actually understand a whole lot more because CJ got me for Christmas.
I got her the
Doctor
Who Bible.
Yes.
Nice.
I have the almost 2-inch thick Doctor Who Bible, and it goes through one through Matt Smith. So for the most part,
I would read that
one through Matt Smith. I love it. Stupid numbers.
Well, no, because it in there it does mention the War Doctor.
Okay.
But it doesn't go into detail.
Okay.
It's basically a blurb of bit War Doctor.
Hey, this thing that we got to put in there before we publish, because by the time we publish, he'll be mentioned, so we want to at least get his name in
exactly.
There. Hey, the guy that was there between the two and the thing and the hurt and the... You'll understand.
But exactly, and that's kind of how I'm like, because Rachel watched a bunch of Doctor Who with me because I made her sit down and watch. Worst episode to jump in on was the end of the Ponds.
But I still sat there and cried because even in just one episode.
Yeah.
They are such an integral part.
La 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 la.
Well, you instantly fall in love with Amy, and you get this weird, like, dopey little brother feeling towards Rory instantly in that episode, and they are ripped from you.
That's actually a really good way to put it, that dopey little brother. It's that little brother that you're like, I love you, but I want to punch you in the face, but I know I need to protect you because you're just dumb as shit sometimes.
Yeah, he's your dopey little brother. Like, and then, like, but still, I'm bawling, and Rachel's like, okay, I'm sad, but you're, like, breaking down.
I'm like, you're having a meltdown. What's going on?
In his defense, right, like, so Jared gave me the Hangout link while I was watching the last, like, 15 to 20 minutes of episode of the 50th anniversary episode. So, like, I'm sitting here, and I'm like...
Yeah, I can't hear him, but I see his reactions to stuff that's going on, and it's great.
I totally get it, man. Like, there was a couple of, like, when Rose left and the doctor didn't get to say, I love you, like...
But that's the reaction that you expect when you're attached to these characters.
I think I broke my mic, but you know, whatever.
You're good.
And I mean, that's exactly it. And this show gets you so entangled with these companions that you start to, you attach yourself to the companions, but when you attach yourself to the companions, you know they're going to go away. And it's not typically just a see you later, bye. It is typically in a horrible fashion that will break your spirit.
Yeah, here's my personal favorite so far, besides, you know, Rose going into an alternate fucking dimension. I really loved, hey, Donna, thank you so much for all your help. Thank you for everything. I'm going to wipe your mind. You'll never know.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit.
Yeah, you know? And I didn't mind Donna. She was pretty. She was not as good as Rose, obviously, but I didn't mind her.
Oh, hated Donna.
It was kind of, again, it's not what you wanted, but it's what you needed. You had to get away from, you had to have that counterbalance.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut you off just because, like, she was the companion to take us away.
That's exactly it, and that's also the story arc why you had to get.
Can you repeat that? Because I evidently cut out, and I have no idea what you just said.
No, like, she, like, we had, you get two companions immediately back to back of them falling in love with the doctor, and she was the one who broke that cycle and paved the way for the other companions who weren't necessarily interested in the doctor, but just, well, you know, so that's what I loved about her.
And I like the love story between the doctor and the companions, but I don't at the same time. Like, I was afraid that Amy was going to be another Rose.
And then
they wrote Rory in so well. I'm like, thank you. I am glad with her still being in love with the doctor, but one thing I was so afraid that Rory was going to be another Ricky or Mickey or whatever the hell his name is.
Ricky, Mickey.
Oh, I hated, Ricky, I hated, hated, hated him until he grew a beard and ballsed up and married Martha. Like, I hated him so much for so long.
It's just like, but the thing is, I'm like, Rory, oh crap, it's another Ricky Mickey. I'm like, no, you can't do this. Just no. And then the Pandorica happened, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over a season, Rory grew some acting balls, and I'm okay with that.
Right. Here's one thing that I truly have loved about the show since the, you know, really when they start diving into Rose and the Sarah J or whatever, when they start showing you the torture and the heartache and the pain that these companions feel when the doctor when he leaves, and how tough it is to be a doctor's friend and to be the companion, you know,
and then the episode where, like, what the hell were they, Linda, where they actually focused on Rose's mom.
Yeah.
And what she went through as being the person who was left behind by the doctor's companion. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's, you know, and that was a crazy episode, too.
My favorite, oh my gosh, it's the first episode, but my favorite part with her mom is when the doctor comes in and she's standing in her robe and she's like, there's a strange man standing in my house. Yes, yes there is. And I'm in my robe. Anything could happen. No. Not in a million years. Nope. It's so good.
No.
And just that first episode really cemented, Eccleston's Doctor. I still think that it wouldn't have been as smooth if he stayed more than one season. And it's the same reason why I say that I have this feeling that Capaldi's not going to be more than a one season Doctor. He's going to need to be around to do what he needs to do and then set the story, because today's audiences don't really want that serious Doctor.
So why do you think Eccleston left? Now, I've not pursued that thought any farther than just
legitimately,
now.
Legitimately? Or lore reasons?
Let's do both.
Okay, legitimately, he's a fucking actor. He is a movie actor. He went on to do some good shit.
Yeah.
So he probably left because he's like, okay, you know what? I've been in a bunch of movies. Hey, I've been in 28 days later, 28 weeks later. You know, I don't need this crap.
He said, bucket this list, freaking Doctor Who, done.
Check, done, yep. See ya. And I think they brought him on originally because of his name. Like, because we needed a actual well-known name to come on so we can rejuvenate this series.
Yeah.
Because, what the hell is his name? Showrunner before Moffat.
It was going down Russell T. really Davies. Bad.
Yeah, Davies is like, I really want to bring back Doctor Who, but I need somebody that people know.
And what's the lore reason?
Lore reason? Because they wanted a handsome, wacky man.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They wanted Tennant.
They wanted Tennant.
Here's what's crazy is, like, you watch Eccleston and Eccleston leaves, and then Tennant comes in and he feels like a complete polar opposite from Eccleston. Like, it took me, like, with Matt Smith, I immediately gravitated toward him. I was like, okay, cool, I'm good with this.
Well, it's because he was so similar to Tennant. Like,
yeah.
Those first couple episodes, it was basically watching Tennant with the awesome chin that could cut through diamonds.
Yeah.
But then, like, Matt Smith has done something really awesome, and it's very subtle over his last three seasons.
Matt Smith is awesomely quirky. That's what it boils down to.
He has went from the grandest clown. He has went from, like, more of a clown than the second Doctor, who was uber clown. Like, he was basically the Riddler, pretty much. To one of the greatest manipulators that there has been in a Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That he has successfully created two separate
Doctors. He plays the gambit
doctors.
Of emotion.
Yeah, he's created two separate Doctors within himself. And can switch on them like a dime.
He's good, dude. There's no doubts.
And I'd say that Matt Smith is still my favorite modern Doctor. And probably my favorite Doctor at all, even though, you know, I started off, you know, watching the old series. But I'd say that Matt Smith is probably one of my favorite Doctors merely because he shows versatility. And it's not like Tennant did a really great job of staying in that middle part of the bipolar disorder, but fluctuating between manic and depressive, like in that middle part. Matt Smith takes those two radical, drastic polars and smashes them together.
So, yeah, he's quite, yeah.
Did you just... Never mind.
Yes.
Well, Tennant is very manic depressive. He can go from happy to yelling and weird things in between.
This is true. I can't argue that.
But Smith takes pure manic and pure down, because it's not really depressive, but sometimes depressive. But, like, and it's like completely merges them into a perfect little ball and then passes it through time.
Tiny, funny.
And so, all right, back onto the 50th.
Yeah.
So I actually have, I don't have my camera on, so I can't do it. Rachel can preach to the fact that I had a bunch of notes written down on paper while watching
really
the episode
does.
For the second time.
It's a little disturbing.
But I was looking up something to reference on my notes, and I realized BuzzFeed took all of my notes.
As they are wont to do.
So
he seriously sat here with a friggin' notebook, like my classwork notebook, and was like, I need paper. Okay, here. What are you doing?
Taking notes.
Like, really?
He was trying to be organized. There's nothing wrong with that.
This is CJ. How long have you guys known him now? Let's be realistic. There is no such thing.
I didn't say it happened regularly. I said there was nothing wrong with him doing it.
Like, it was almost in order. Like, I took down the fact that it was the original title sequence from 1963. And the fact that it was Totter's Lane, which is where his granddaughter Susan went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one I put was, it was a school that companions taught at.
So those
and
are,
then I went to...
Yeah, so those are previous, those are classic Doctor Who companions.
Yes.
Yeah, just for reference.
And then,
telephone
then I go to
hitting 1-1 was improv.
Yeah. That's 11.
Codename Chrome.
Well, that like the fun thing is they actually the telephone sequence where Smith was being airlifted to unit, where the phone hit him in the face. That was completely improv.
Nice.
he was doing something with the phone, it smacked him in the face, and they just decided to keep it.
That's awesome.
And like, codename Chrome, which is a Chroma. Sorry. But, like, I was going to look it up. That's actually a Three Doctors reference, the original crossover between the first, second, and third Doctor. And it had something to do with that, and I couldn't remember what. So that's when I found this BuzzFeed list. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to bother because these are pretty much all of my notes, and they're going to just keep going with them.
All 35. So should we run through them real quick?
Yeah, let's just run through them.
Okay.
The round things. We love the round things.
Yeah, so that's a throwback to the original. Or no, that's Baker. That's Baker's TARDIS.
Baker's TARDIS.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Baker in this.
Right, probably because he's one of the.
Well, he's in it, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah. But so the round things in the TARDIS when they have a confusing moment, the TARDIS doesn't know what to do because there's three Doctors. There's round things on the wall which are from Baker's, but also when you see Baker as the curator, the round things are on the wall again.
Yeah.
I'm referencing the article here, so we'll have it in the show notes, by the way, so you can follow the link to look at all this on BuzzFeed.
But that was amazing that they had that and introduced, like, and this is what Doctor Who does for those who don't know. It introduces 50 more questions while answering one.
Right.
Yep. And I am a little ashamed that I did not see Tom Baker originally. And like I said, he's my doctor. But like, I saw the face, and I'm like, his eyes are almost sunk into the back of his head, and he got fat and everything like that. Yeah, he's 80 years old.
Yes, but your wife is sitting here going, I know who
it is. No, you said he was the seventh.
No, I said I'm not sure which number he is, but he has to do with the scarf.
Yeah, that scarf was everywhere. My God.
No, the scarf is actually only on the lab worker.
Unless you went to the theaters to see it, and then it's everywhere. Because everyone was wearing a colorful scarf. It was ridiculous.
And they pulled scenes directly out of the Three Doctors, pretty much, basically. Like, you know, two going into three, or, you know, you were decorated. I don't like it. And then Tennant going to Smith being like, you were decorated. I don't like it.
I love Matt's face because it was like sheer, almost horror. Like, how could I not like the interior that I picked? Like, how is that even possible? Like, what are you doing? Like, or what am I doing? Like, how does this work?
The subtle back and forth between those guys, like, and I don't even know all the lore, but like, it was so fun to watch them fuck with each other so much, like the screwdriver bit, like overcompensating.
Yeah,
you're like, ah, I see what you did there.
Or even the Fez with the glasses, and like they turn around, they're like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, glasses.
Oh. Yes. Oh,
speaking of glasses, Amy Pond's glasses. She kind of showed up. She kind of showed up.
Yeah, because they couldn't get her, they just gave her glasses.
Yeah.
And pinwheel.
Yes.
The machine that goes ding. Ding! What is that? It's a machine. It goes ding. I love that. That is so classically Tennant. Like, it is, like, just that statement. It's a machine. It goes ding. That is pretty much what you expect out of 4 years of Tennant.
Right.
Four glorious years.
And One thing, before we go too far into this, I love the, why do you always talk like a child? What is so wrong with being an adult? I have no idea where he gets that from.
Yeah.
It's timey-wimey. I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. Don't look at me, you, us.
Yeah, as he looks down and away, like, I love right. that. It's
like, that was perfect. I'm so glad. Okay, I don't remember. The next one on the list is referencing previous references to Elizabeth. The Queen Elizabeth. I didn't catch the one where he said, I got married, that was a mistake. Good Queen Bess. Let me tell you, her nickname was no longer, and then, anyway. I don't remember that scene. I don't remember that.
I do, but the thing is Hurt and Tennant were there. Hurt and Smith were there. He shouldn't remember it.
Oh, Well, that one may not be, man. No. Okay, no, that was before.
No, they were there.
No, but he met her before they showed up.
But he did not marry her until they showed up.
That's true. Then I don't know what to tell you. The next one on the list, though, I am so glad they covered, which was the episode from Shakespeare. No, the Shakespeare episode with Queen Elizabeth when she's like 70 and was like, off with his head. And you were like, for 7 years, and I'm making up numbers, but forever I've been going, why do we not have an end to that? Like, why did we not go back?
Why is she so angry?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the other day, I literally something happened in that same type of thing. I was like, why the fuck is she so mad at him? I was like, he saved that country so many times. You'd think he'd get like a mulligan or something. Shit.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, but on the same line as the last one, though, him getting married, he shouldn't have remembered. Although I don't know if it's explicitly stated in that episode that he remembers. He just goes, oh crap, the queen is pissed. That's never good. We should just leave. That could be the idea behind it. I don't know if they covered it or not.
But she would remember it because she's not affected by it. She's
right.
The fact that there's three people there.
But
and
he ran. And almost understood that he should be running. But I'm assuming that's just because she, at least in lore, obviously, assuming that he just sees that the queen is pissed, I probably shouldn't be here. I've probably done something, past, future, or whatever. Something happened, it involves me, and she's pissed, and I need to leave.
Yeah.
You mentioned the phone number thing. Go on that, because I didn't catch that.
It is the same phone number. The TARDIS phone is the same phone number, and the fact that they kept that was amazing.
I love little tidbits, like stuff that shouldn't matter, but it's perfect that they actually kept it.
Yeah, that like you said, dude, when you told me, like, if you want to get all the tiny little things that make this show great, you have to watch 2005 up to now.
Yeah, like you have to catch the little things. Like I've got people who, my wife's including this, but she didn't want to watch 2005, the Eccleston years, because she didn't like his acting or everything together, and it just we watched the first two and last two, and it just there's little things, and I'm like, you didn't see that
episode. That's pretty much all you need.
Well, but there are little things. I'm like, hey, do you remember when? You didn't see that.
Little things, yeah. But you're gonna like if you want Eccleston, you know, like pure unwatered down Eccleston, first two and last two, and
that's why I was okay with her doing that. But there are some times where I'm like, you don't get that reference. Like that was in like middle of season one, so.
All right, so I do love the off topic, the David Tennant where he puts the gas mask on and he looks up and he's like, "Are you my mummy?" You know, like, do y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So great, so dude. All right. Back on topic.
And then the whole I don't want to go thing.
Yeah.
That it's just the look on his face. He says this so casually, like, "I don't want to go." And then he always says that.
Although I will say his hair looked emo in this. I couldn't get over that.
I love how much he loves his hair.
Right.
You know? Like he's my hero.
And then a callback to the date and time of the first ever episode of Doctor Who in the Tower.
Yeah, so the carving that they carve in the Tower of London is the date, and then the time on the clock that Clara drives past the clock is the air time.
Same time, yeah.
Yeah, the air time of the first episode.
Here's a fun thing, and I'm surprised they didn't do this. I said they were going to, but they didn't. The fact that it aired at 7:16 instead of 10, which back in the 60s is what happened in England, it was actually delayed 6 minutes because of JFK shooting.
Right. Wow.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it was delayed exactly 6 minutes because they wanted to say, oh, yeah, the President of the United States just got shot. Here's some stuff on it. All right, on with the show that nobody knows.
Yeah. Right. On we're with this kid's history. Show about history and the Earth and dinosaurs and the Aztecs.
Yep, because that's what Doctor Who started off as a history. It started off as where in time is Carmen Sandiego, basically.
Hey, I would have watched that show too. Actually, I did watch that show, the cartoon and the TV show.
Oh God, she knows that. It's scary. The no more on the whiteboard, which is kind of a handoff to the Bad Wolf thing,
right?
Because Bad Wolf was written through history and actually meant something, and then no more.
I'm gonna mute myself because I'm just gonna keep singing that damn song. Thank you.
Okay.
The Fez, of course. I love the freaking Fez.
The fact that
is there a Fez around here?
The look he gets when he sees it when they're in the room with all the artifacts. He sees it. He's like,
times you'll be able to walk by a Fez and not put it on.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah. The look that he gets when he walks past it, he's like, it must be mine.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's like a,
and it's
a little,
like a little kid in a candy store.
Oh, a little tiny doctor stain on the floor.
Hold on, wait. Hold on, we're talking about kids in candy stores. Hold on. Here, wait.
I can't help it, dude. I'm excited. I'm like a kid in a candy store who's never had candy before.
What is that from?
I have no idea. It was from one of our shows.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That was fun. Sorry.
I'm going to guess that's the one with...
I'm going to say it's probably Tailspin when we were trying to use candy everywhere. I'm going to have the guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Rose's glasses, or not Rose, sorry, Amy's glasses.
Awesome.
Sorry, I saw a red and I instantly went to Rose. And Lethbridge Stewart was fantastic in this. I actually had to explain to Rachel what the Brigadier meant, being the companion who ran through every single classic Doctor except for the first. When UNIT was created with the second Doctor, he was throughout the entire classic series.
Nice.
Like up and he was through second through seventh. He was never an official companion, but he was always there.
Yeah.
it was kind of what they were trying to set up, I'm guessing, with Torchwood and Harkness, and then Moffat's like, fuck you.
Yeah, that was tough. I like
Moffat did that a lot though, but he can get away with it.
Yeah, because it's Moffat. And the shoes were in the Black Vault, which is weird, and the pinwheel. The pinwheel actually makes sense, because the pinwheel was actually touched by the time rip in the first saga of Smith's Doctor.
Yeah.
So that kind of actually makes sense that it was there. Magnetic clamps from Torchwood. I didn't actually get that because I haven't seen Torchwood yet. Yet, don't yell at me, I'm going to watch it.
But that showed up in...
That's in Doctor Who.
That's
the
in Doctor Who.
It.
Yeah, that's what Rose and Tennant are hanging on to when the rift
opens.
That's
right.
Yeah, it's in it's in both.
Yeah, that's where that's the beginning of the end for Rose.
I noticed that there was a bunch of old companions on the board, which makes sense because they want to make sure that everybody knows.
Right.
I'm surprised Captain Jack even got involved in this, but they mentioned him.
Well, it's a plot device. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And that's why he's not there. It's just his wristband. So sad.
It's like, I don't want to write his name in here. We have to. How else are we going to get these there? Timey-wimey, no. Just bring it in.
Well, I mean, I guess in theory, they could have found an extra... no, that wasn't time travel. That was between universe hops. Never mind. I was thinking of the big easy button they used in jumping between universes, but that's not time travel, so never mind. That was a dumb idea. And that's probably why they used the wristband.
Yeah, the effing horse.
Well, evidently, this at least BuzzFeed is thinking it's the same horse from Girl in the Fireplace, the episode with Madame.
Pretty much is.
Yeah. I'm still here. Shut up, Google.
Oh, That's how you know we've been going for 2 hours.
Oh, by the way, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah,
happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yeah.
Yippee!
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
See, I'm okay with us recording stupid late on this because nobody works tomorrow. So.
Well, that, and it's a special edition, so people don't care about this. They won't continue listening, so I'm not
That's the reason why I gave the whole, like, see you next week thing last before. The polarity got reversed just like in the Three Doctors.
And they,
oh my God,
reversing it back and forth.
You're reversing the repair, and then you're reversing. Well,
you're confusing it.
Yes. You're confusing it.
The funny part was it was Tennant that was like the younger Doctor, the one that should know less in theory, was the one who was like, "Hey, no, we're reversing each other, so we're just leaving
it
the way it was."
Remember, Tennant actually did have a previous Doctor meetup with his now father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Which is really weird.
Right, right.
All right. So,
so he knows what happens when there's two Sonics touching it.
Okay.
I have one point that Vicky made that I thought was awesome, because when I first started watching the Matt Smith Doctor, and I think this is kind of relevant toward to where we're at in this conversation, but she, I was like, man, I was like, something just doesn't seem right about Matt Smith. I was like, why is his companion solving so many of his early issues? You know, she's like stepping up to the plate, answering a lot of things, making things happen. And he's just like really like unsure of himself. And she goes, look at how David Tennant went out, like with all the things that happened,
yeah, the
universe,
explosions and everything
like
that. Yeah.
The universe ripped apart. And he put it back together, and like he had that one moment in the episode prior to fighting the Master again where he's like, I've gone too far. I literally have gone too far, and this girl killed herself to write what I just fucked up.
Yep.
You know? And so I think that Matt Smith Doctor is very much like uncertain of himself as opposed to where David Tennant was prior to everything.
Well, it's like you also have to realize like how each of them were created. It's very subtle. Like Tennant coming off of Eccleston and Eccleston being a badass. Like, he himself was a badass about the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
And then him coming directly out of that, he was very sure of himself. Like, Tennant was an extension of that last little bit of Eccleston.
Yeah.
And Smith is an extension of those last couple of episodes with Tennant, where there's crap exploding everywhere, and like the body is completely poisoned, and you don't know what that did to his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. That's the reason why he eats like a pregnant woman now.
And the jeez, freaking fish sticks and custard. But this goes back to the idea of why Capaldi is going to be an older Doctor. We're still talking about the same concept, which is nuts to think that. We're taking something that a completely different showrunner, Russell T. Davies, wrote or started, and actually continuing on that whole process of going from completely confident in yourself to where you don't even think about the fact that he could be dead. You're just trying to save the world. Like, you don't care. You just came out of killing an entire race of – or two – what you think is two races. You just think you destroyed them, complete genocide, and you're like, whatever, what's one person? Like, I didn't even think about that. I don't care. We're stopping a problem. Like, whatever. And you get to Tennant, who's a little bit more cautious, is starting to fall in love with Rose and care about other things that's going on. And then you have the whole Tennant death / regeneration. And then you have Matt, who is, as we've just discussed, disshambled is probably
a good term.
Yeah.
I think that's the word, dude. Like, he's totally... He's not the same, like,
he's the Raggedy Man.
Yeah. He doesn't make the same, like, he'll make a decision and go with it. Like, it takes, I don't know, it shows where he's at in his progression, I think.
Right.
Regression.
But it says something about a show that, first off, has been around this long, 50 years, but also one that can take two completely different writers and still have a seemingly logical and explainable progression in the story of a character. Like, it works really well.
Well, Moffat, that's one thing I love about Moffat. He has such a love for the previous Doctors. Like, he is a Whovian first and foremost.
Right.
It would be almost like if Neil Gaiman took over as a showrunner. He would continue the stuff that Stephen Moffat has done. And by the way, yes, that's the rumor that's been floating around that Gaiman's actually going to be taking over as showrunner.
Nice.
Which personally I would freaking love, but because the episodes that he writes and directs, Neil Gaiman, I'm like, oh, these are the best episodes ever. But Moffat's very good at continuing continuing on the subtle things. Thus the reason why you see so many old Doctor callbacks in the 50th episode.
Right.
Because this felt like it was written by a fan.
I did find it interesting that he actually he came out before the episode aired and he was like, "Look, you guys are hyping this. It's an episode. Like, please go into this as an episode, not the end all be all. Like, it is just an episode. Like, yes, it's the 50th anniversary. We're doing something cool and special and amazing, but it's not. Please don't overhype this for yourself." Like, he's like, "Just don't overhype.
Don't let this be Phantom Menace. Please
right.
Just
yeah
right."
Like, don't do that. Don't get the Jar Jar Binks tattoo yet. Watch it first, and then make your decision.
Exactly. I'm sorry. The callback from Hertz regeneration, you know, wearing a bit thin, to Hartnell's wearing a bit thin.
Oh, speaking of Hartnell, JD, do you know that the... Man, okay, so we talked about how the show started out as a kid's show with a granddad and his granddaughter traveling through Earth's history, learning about Earth's history. That's a weird way to say that sentence, sorry. But it started out as that, and when Hartnell's health started failing, the popularity of the show was getting large, so the writers at the time, basically, when he was getting old, they made this decision, like, well, we're already making all this stuff up, why not have him turn into somebody else? Like, that's it was actually him getting older and about to die that actually caused the whole regeneration thing to happen in the first place, because he was already in his late 70s when he started. How old was he?
That's an old man.
Well, during the Three Doctors, he was almost 90. He passed right after the Three Doctors.
Yeah, so it was failing health, and that's what started the whole. If I'm not mistaken, that's what started the concept.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, of like the regeneration.
He didn't want to lose his cash cow because BBC was getting ready to go under. Like, they were getting ready to be bought out by a massive conglomerate at the time, and basically become state run over there. And so they're like, okay, we can, you know, we have this one show that's extremely popular. What are we going to do? This guy's going to die if we keep working him this hard.
So they turned it into the thing that lasted 50 years now, because you can just change the main actor and it somehow makes sense.
Dude, I what's crazy is, as an American viewer, I'm like, that is just blasphemy. You don't do that.
Right.
No, you don't do that. But,
yeah.
But after watching it done on Doctor Who, I'm like, these guys are geniuses.
Well,
I was like,
they've done it in the right way. They don't do it in a... I'm trying to think of a really good slash bad example from
that
from
70s show. That 70s show.
Well, that 70s show, Power Rangers.
Yes.
The red, yellow, and blue ranger wanted to quit the show. So
that wasn't quite.
No, like you
that wasn't
watch,
quite. They weren't the same character. Like, it wasn't Jason anymore. It was a different person. So that's
but
still,
it was still a red ranger using the same red ranger.
Yes, but it wasn't as bad as, oh, that I know this. That used to be Kate, but now this is Kate, and it's a completely different actor. And she has a different voice, and they just get over it.
I think, and like, you can't, there's, we didn't do it that blatantly in America, but you look like, the reason why I say that 70s show is, you know, Topher Grace left in like season 7, and very next season you have a brand new intro introducing you to a brand new character you've never met before, who's the exact same character as Topher Grace was, but he has a different, he's like Chuck, right?
Yeah.
And then he immediately falls in love with Donna and immediately starts filling these holes with all the group of friends. And it's like, you don't force people down. I don't know. It just didn't. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't done properly.
Yeah. But yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, you kind of have like a more subtle thing of doing things, which is like different James Bonds. I mean,
or here's a great example. I think Walking Dead is good at it. Or maybe it's a different show where they will introduce you to a character. And like he'll
Walking
do a
Dead
couple.
Not good at anything.
Shut your face. He'll do like they'll do a couple guest spots, you know, here and there, and then the next season they're a main
they're
cast
main character.
Character,
right?
Yeah.
And a little bit of CGI's from Eccleston during the regeneration.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that in the theaters, to be honest. I didn't catch it.
No, I said when I rewatched it earlier, actually earlier today, And I looked at it, I'm like, yep, those are definitely Christopher Eccleston's eyes.
Yep,
yeah, I see it. I see it on the BuzzFeed article. I see it. They show it in GIF form or GIF form, however you want to say it. I don't care. I won't hate.
Screw the guy who made it. I don't care.
Yeah, I say GIF. But you know, I see it there, but I didn't catch it in the theater when I was watching it. I guess I had too much other stuff I was trying to take in at the same time with the 50th anniversary, but I did not catch the subtle eye change.
So awesome. Yeah. And then this is Moffat calling back again in a very subtle way, but excellently, masterfully done. You know, the Ninth Doctor knowing that he had to go to London to find something that had to do with Bad Wolf because of the whole reason, the moment saying that she was the Bad Wolf.
Yep, and then in the show, or obviously it's made because this is technically pre-Eccleston, you can tie up those loose ends, but you know, she made it, she slightly hinted at it and said, oh wait, that might be from your future. Like, it was a nice little tie-in, like, you know.
But that, I mean, Moffat, that's what Moffat does. It's subtle, and it's like, oh my god. And the only thing that really breaks is the fact that the Doctor shouldn't, like, and I didn't even notice it until I read this, is the Doctor shouldn't remember the fact that he got married.
Right.
But it's great that they did explain that, but he shouldn't remember it.
Right.
Unless it was written into history books, which is a possibility.
Oh, no, the painting. He has the painting.
Well, yeah, the painting, yeah.
He has the painting, so that, I mean...
And those eyes of Craig Ferguson, I mean...
Capaldi.
Capaldi. Yeah. Okay, I really want them to have a robotic sidekick for Capaldi. Can we make that happen? Please, Moffat.
Like another canine, or do you mean android form, like humanic?
Android form. Like Jeff from The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Oh, geez. That's where you were getting that from. Oh, nice. Well played. All right, Moffat, with your subtle hints.
I want that to happen. That will break my mind if that happens, but in such a good way. But you can kind of get the idea of what Capaldi is going to be like just from that 2 second view into his eyes, that look on his face of determination and like righteous indignation.
All right, so I'm actually going through right now like the 35 things on BuzzFeed.
Like number 29, I thought about that before I read that. Believe it or not, number 29 is explaining the whole thing of Capaldi being older.
Right. I didn't think about it until I saw the article, to be honest.
I thought about that before that. It wasn't much before that, but it was like, oh, thanks, BuzzFeed. I hate you.
Right.
And then the five-ish doctors tie-in was, oh, my God. For those who didn't watch it, the five-ish doctors is a bunch of the classic doctors, the ones who are existing now, except for Tom Baker, obviously, trying to get involved in the 50th episode.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is amazing. And the Zygons underneath the carpet doesn't match the drapes with Zygons, because under the drapes are old doctors until the drapes should come off, and then there's Zygons.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is amazing.
And then speaking of the face of Bo, the wonderful tie-in with the thing with, hey, you're not alone, and we always thought it was the Master with his crazy drum beat. Evidently, it is now, it could potentially be Gallifrey in the pocket universe in the painting.
Moffat, man. I think he seriously, when he was writing this, just went back and watched all of Eccleston and Tennant's run. It's like, okay, what can I put in?
He was like, all right, loose end there, let's fix that. Loose end here, let's fix
hole
that.
Hole here, hole here, hole here.
All right, and with those three loose ends tied up, let's create more questions. And then we can tie up this one, which will create five more questions. And all right, cool, sounds good. 50th anniversary, done.
Yeah.
Freaking ridiculous.
And then timey-wimey.
Yeah.
And I have no idea where he picks this stuff up.
Yep.
I did not realize that Osgood would be a nod to old unit technician under the Brigadier Tom Osgood.
I didn't catch that. I did catch the scarf.
Velma with the fourth scarf.
Yeah.
That,
because
like,
let's face it, it's Velma. Cute nerdy girl. It's Velma.
It is Velma. Oh my god! Like I have to rewatch. I have to watch more Doctor Who.
Yes, and then the fourth liked to mess with people with the scarf because people liked picking on the scarf. Like, that was the thing during the fourth. Everybody picked on the scarf. Everybody picked on the scarf. And so he used it to his advantage. He would, you know, he would grab people with it. He would trip people with it. He used it as a weapon and a tool. And Osgood did that exact same thing.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching, going back and watching some older Doctor Who. I some of it I think I'm going to have to, torture's not a good word. I'm going to have to grind through.
Some of it's torture. But like, it is, some of it is really bad. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm starting to look forward to it.
I'm going to love it up, man. It's going to be great.
And if you remember my complaint with Eccleston when I first started watching it was, it was trying to maintain some of that classic cheese from the old Doctor Who while trying to remain modern. The problem is, classic cheese from Doctor Who was involved with pulling the Daleks around on strings or seeing a guy behind the Daleks pushing them around.
Oh, wow.
You can't, yeah. Yes, that happened. You could see in some of the episodes where the you see the grip guy behind the Daleks pushing them for a split second.
Oh, wow. I can't wait, dude. It's going to be glorious.
And the TARDIS and its strings. Like, there was a lot of TARDIS on strings. Or even if they digitally edited it out, because you'll have a lot of it where it's been remastered, where the strings will be invisible, but it's still bouncing up and down. Like,
right,
it's
like
on
it's
a string.
On strings. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like if you go back and watch the original Star Trek motion picture, the thing's bouncing around and spinning around. Like, it's obviously on strings. You just can't see the strings. Because we got better with technology and went in with MS Paint and deleted the strings.
MS Paint. You mean Super Mario Paint?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And then, of course, giving the big handoff to all of the doctors at the end of it. And then the 50th, where it shows every single one of the doctors and William Hartnell actually standing in the middle of them.
Yeah, did you guys see how they did that? Did you watch the after-the-fact special?
No, I didn't.
Okay, it was actually, they played it in theaters too. It lasted about 20 minutes or so. It showed some of the behind-the-scenes and just how everything came together. It was pretty neat. And they had guys standing there in the right attire, and then they did mocap for the faces. And then just overlaid the face, which after seeing that kind of disappointed me, to be honest. I wish they had the characters move a little more for the old doctors, even if not like major, because it'd be really hard to adjust for, but at least like a subtle like shift, like a foot shift or something where you could see they were moving. They literally looked like cardboard cutouts to me, and it was kind of disappointing.
The main thing that I love, like, and coming out of Doctor Who and being a Doctor Who fan and going to Dragon Con, you see a lot of doctors, you see a lot of scarves, and when you see old men trying to be Doctor Who, they only had William Hartnell to go on, which is very bland. You're basically dressing up like James Bond when you're dressing up as William Hartnell. John Hurt's costume is amazing.
Right.
Like, his outfit is spectacular, and it gives something for older Doctor Who fans to cosplay as now.
We just need a bald doctor. Oh.
Yeah, then you'll go great for it.
Or I could just wear a wig, I guess. You know, it'll be all right.
That would be great.
You know what? I could just let it get to stubble, and I could go as Eccleston.
Eccleston.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
I will never play
you in a...
Oh, go ahead.
I want to see you as the 11th.
I don't have the hair for 10 or 11.
All of that hair.
I do. Look at that. Look around there.
All of that hair. I want to see Budlong with a wig on and pretend to be the 11th.
Oh, you should. I wish I had taken the picture. We had my wife sit next to me on my lap, and I put the hair over her hair over my head. It was freaking hilarious. I'll have to get a picture of it one day.
But, like, I mean, I would cosplay as freaking John Hurt's doctor, and that is amazing. Like, they went through a lot of effort to try and make his outfit war appropriate, but still remaining doctorish.
Right.
Because he has this thing with coats. I don't understand that must just be his thing. His
it's
coats.
It's a UK.
It's a Gallifreyan thing.
I was gonna say it's a UK thing.
Oh yeah, but like every one of them has a distinct coat, and it just.
I wish I could wear coats here. I live in Alabama. We don't have enough cold weather to warrant an actual coat.
Well, it's cold today. If you guys had the same weather that we got, yeah, man, it's like 30 something.
I'm not
going to
buy
now.
A really nice coat for 2 days out of the year. That ain't going to happen.
Fair enough. Actually, I got a really nice coat that looks kind of like Eccleston's coat, but I'm too fat to be Eccleston.
So you look like a Nazi submarine commander.
Oh, That's funny.
Well, no, I have like I have a really, really slick black leather jacket that I got when I was working with the Navy, and I had to go to D.C. in December.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no thanks.
So nope. Going from South Carolina to Washington, D.C. in December, it was...
Nope, not for
me. I left South Carolina 2 hours. The flight was only 2 hours. I left South Carolina like, oh, it's 60-something degrees, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning that I left. I get to D.C., and they're like, it's 17 degrees. We're like, oh, shit. And I did the opposite thing is when you're traveling, you're supposed to pack for where you're going to, right? Or you're supposed to wear where you're going to, right?
Yeah.
Not me.
Nope.
I wore my South Carolina outfit out and my D.C. outfit back in. So flying into D.C., I'm running across the freaking tarmac in a short sleeve shirt and thin pants.
Wow.
And coming back from D.C., I left my coat on because it was so freaking cold there. So I get to South Carolina where it's almost 80 degrees in December, but I'm now in this heavy leather coat.
Yeah. You got yours through other means. I can't justify purchasing a really nice jacket for very few times I would use it a year.
Well, you can always go to Dragon Con and there's an idea for you.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year. Hey, speaking of going to Dragon Con, geek-io.com/tipjar. Feel free to drop
so
a line.
I had asked for some help from our audience, and we only got one response back, and that's mainly because Daryl works for the company. But Daryl Shaler, co-host of Comic Geek IO, sent in an English perspective on Doctor Who.
So stick around for a few moments. Here it is.
Hi everyone. Since Doctor Who is a very British thing, I thought you should have an opinion with a suitable accent. We celebrated 50 years of the Doctor the weekend, and the high point of this was probably the Day of the Doctor episode, which aired simultaneously all over the world, so we had that wonderful timey-wimey effect of lots of people watching at different times of the day at the same time. That's a pretty good feat for a time traveller, right? As for the episode, it delivered everything we could ask for, though not necessarily everything I was expecting. I really did think the Metacrisis Tenant Doctor would come into play with Rose to see what happened to those guys, but instead we got time-traveling Tenant and fake Rose, which actually works out really well, and it leaves something for the future, hopefully, to find out what happens to those guys. One thing I did like is the way they spent the money this time. They had loads of cash and it was all on screen, and it was in a way that didn't seem inappropriate for the actual series. It's a very cheap and cardboard cutout series. So last season, where they had loads of extra money to do these special effects, they just didn't really know what to do with it. They'd have those moments where they'd say, "We have money left over, what should we do? Let's have him ride a motorcycle up a famous London landmark." It just seemed completely superfluous and not exactly Doctor Who. It also seemed that in the past they were focusing on the special effects as opposed to the writing, and the writing here is fantastic. You have a few characters that are given their time to shine, as opposed to just throwing lots and lots of people at the screen, and it works in a way that makes it feel both classic British science fiction, where you have a few people in cardboard sets, while also having big explosions to make the Americans happy. It wasn't all perfect, of course. The much-mentioned Time War is finally seen now. It's always been alluded to as something that went beyond standard warfare, where time and space became weapons on a level that us humans simply couldn't begin to understand. Here, however, we see an impressive but relatively pedestrian exchange of standard sci-fi weaponry. These are Time Lords, and they're running around with guns. It's a bit disappointing, but I sort of reason that it's the final days of a huge war, and they've run out of their timey-wimey weapons and are simply throwing sticks and stones at each other. Everything else, though, was a treat that stays with you long enough to warrant repeated viewings, just to appreciate some layer of meaning you didn't quite get the first time. The seemingly throwaway plot of the alien invaders ties into John Hurt's warrior doctor in a way that resonates on lots of different ways. It's one of the things that are going to be picked apart by fan conversations for a long time yet, and it really makes me wish I was there to do that with you guys right now, but I gotta sleep. There is one theme that I did quite enjoy, and it's kind of important because it's one of those things that's been running through since the new series started, and that's the Doctor needs a companion and why. John Hurt's Doctor didn't have one, or at least he doesn't when he comes to his big decision. And it's because he doesn't have that voice of reason, his conscience, that he's about to press a button. Matt Smith's Doctor does. He's not alone, and it changes things. And for the first time since she was a Soufflé Girl, Clara actually proves to us she's got some amazing potential, at least when she's not forced, and this is something we're supposed to think is awesome and much better than the Pons. So yeah, this is a stunning piece of science fiction. I recommend everyone watches it repeatedly. And while you're at it, I'd also recommend you go to Netflix and check out Three Doctors. It's one of the older ones. The Doctor's in trouble, and the only people who can help him are two of his previous selves. This all very familiar time stream crossing, breaking the rules of being a Time Lord stuff. And it has a lot of parallels to this episode in a way that it just shows that the new Who is actually surprisingly consistent with the old stuff, even though it's all flashbang and not spending 3 hours on a story. So thanks for letting me prattle on about this awesome science fiction show, and I'm looking forward to hearing the show around this part. Enjoy.
So, Daryl, sorry, you're going to have to wait till the very end to hear that, so... Mwah.
Yeah.
No. That's strategic. That's
yes.
Not a punishment. It's strategic.
Yeah. We totally meant to do that. But yeah, it's that's pretty much what I've heard reflected by a lot of the English fans.
Is what? That they don't have awesome taste like we do and think it's just amazing? Jesus.
Yes. Exactly. So for that.
I'm sorry. The only thing that I have is like, and I'm nitpicking now, but like, I thought it was flawless. I completely did. I didn't see anything wrong with it. As a new fan, it was everything that I wanted and didn't know that I wanted. You know?
And as a new fan, I mean, this is complete and total like fan service.
Oh yeah.
Like, and in a good way. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I am all for fan service.
Dude, he made a lot of good points, you know, but like, he kept talking about the budget, and you could tell they had a shit ton of money for this. I thought every penny was spent well. Every penny was spent well. You know, but I'm just an American.
Stupid Americans.
Oh, man, I love fucking...
No, he's kind of saying that he enjoyed the way that the money was actually spent on this one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Matt Smith's Doctor does do a lot of stuff that normally the Doctor wouldn't do, but that's only because we have a crap ton of money now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, the whole motorcycle up Big Ben or whatever, Big Ben, it's not something the Doctor would normally do, but it's just like, hey, we have money, so let's do something with it.
You know what's funny is I had that conversation with Vicky, and we literally were like, you can tell this show's got more money now just because, like, look at how much time they spend looking at the background or showing me the TARDIS and shit.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The more money that they give you, the more they show off the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Mainly. Like, that is the main money sink. It's like, oh, we added some more cool stuff in here. We're going to take an entire episode to show you what this cool stuff is.
It's like old school Dragon Ball Z. We'll fight in 20 minutes, but look, as I tell you my story.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that a lot of people have against, like, the end of 10, well, the end of 10 and the beginning of, and through Smith's run, where it is a lot of, like, focusing on things that normally wouldn't happen and just kind of blandly putting it as story, like the Doctor's Wife episodes of Smith's run, where it's just like, there's no reason why this needs to be here except for the fact that we have a ton of money that we can spend on CG now.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, even can be said about the whole, like, you haven't got there yet, but the Impossible Girl, like, what happens with Clara is all because we have a ton of money that we could spend.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
When you get there, you'll notice. Like, you'll notice that it's like, this is not something that would normally happen.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just different. Like, it is way different than seeing a guy push basically a trash can on with a plunger sticking out of it on wheels down a hallway.
They really thought that was intimidating back then. That's adorable.
And that's pretty much what it was. It was a trash can that they put on a board with wheels on it, and they stuck a plunger in it. And it's not so much intimidating now. It's more so that it's just iconic at this point. Like,
yeah, I would love to see them revamp those things, man, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
It will never happen. It's just like the Cybermen, and that's the reason why
I like the Cybermen. They're intimidating.
You will see. No, they're not.
They're scarier than the fucking the trash can peoples.
Well, yeah, but you'll see. Like, I'm sorry. This cough won't go away. You'll see, like, the classic villains will never get an update. They'll get a new fresh coat of paint in the Dalek's case, literally.
In the Cybermen's case, I've seen some pictures. Oh, my gosh. It was tinfoil wrapped around somebody's head and a piece of PVC pipe painted silver. It was ridiculous.
Yep. But you'll see those, and they will hardly ever look different. But that's why you create things like the Weeping Angels.
Those were amazing, dude.
These new villains that look intimidating and will get you afraid of statues forever. I can't not look at a statue and just keep my eyes on it and look around and like...
Dude, oh, they're so good, bro. Oh.
And then, have you seen the newest? No, you haven't. You haven't seen it. They do something with the Weeping Angels in the in Tent Smith's run that will make you afraid of every single innocent looking statue.
Which episode are you referring to? The one
the
in
end
the cave?
Of the ponds.
Oh, that one. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I have to go on a like what was I gonna say, dude? Oh my god, I lost my train of thought.
It's all right. It's late. I understand.
No, it was the episode, like here it is. When David Tennant sees the Time Lords come out of the portal when he's fighting the Masters, the two women beside the Time Lords looked like the Weeping Angels, and I thought for a second that was either like the precursor to the Weeping Angels, David, like the Doctor's mother or something crazy, because there was such a point of focus on those characters to stay like this for the entire set time of filming.
Budlong, you've seen all of Smith's run, right?
I've missed an episode here or there because it was on a friend's DVR, so I haven't seen something about the Age of Silver or a couple other episodes, but all the main plot points I've seen.
Okay, this is something that I still haven't, like, I must have missed it, and as I'm going back, I'll probably catch up to it in a week or so. But the Weeping Angels were supposed to be evaporated from history after being shoved into the time rip.
Yep.
How did they come back?
I don't know.
Well, think about it, because he restored the time rift. Like, he fixed everything. So he took all those moments of creation and brought the Daleks back and brought the Cybermen back. When he went back and he fixed
the
rift.
Oh, is that true, like, fixing because Rory was an android?
Yeah, he fixed all that.
I must have missed that episode. That must have been one of the episodes that I missed.
Yeah, that was the end of the final of the season 5, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah, I must have missed that one.
Because he takes the restoration powers of the TARDIS, puts it in the Big Bang 2, and then that spreads across the universe, and then she remembers the Doctor, which fixes everything else.
Okay.
That's my one nerd card for the night.
I must have missed it. So, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. JD, where can people find you out on the internet?
Twitter.com/TheDepew. We also got Twitter.com/HowItStacks. I have an IMDb page. Which is where you can see pictures of me. You won't find me there. And Google Plus and Facebook. So, you know, pretty much the big social networking things.
Looking very David Tennant-ish in his own sense.
Thank you.
With no facial hair, and that's really weird.
Dude, it is. Speaking so... My agent's like, you have to shave your beard. And I'm like, fuck, have you seen me without a beard? Shit.
I'm actually going to be, before I move next week, when we come back, I will be facial hairless.
I'm excited about this.
Which is very weird. It happens once a year, and November is over now, And so Movember is no longer a thing. So I need to I get this weird thing where facial hair geek. I get this thing where like my hair, even though I run like conditioner and crap through it, it just gets so like coarse and crap and dried that I have to get rid of it because it hurts.
Yep. Sounds like AIDS. What?
Wow. Yeah, pretty much. I could never grow a beard like Gabe because it would be like
Dude,
sandpaper.
His beard is so amazing.
It's ridiculous.
It's so cool. It's so cool. I can't grow a beard like that either. Mine just, I don't know. Hey, whatever.
All right. And you can reach the show at twitter.com/geekioshow, Facebook. We're on Facebook, Google Plus, twitch.tv/geekioshow, YouTube. Pretty much any social media, we're there. Pretty much always under geekioshow.
Yeah, right. Same thing. Because, how do we find How It Stacks? Just Google the show.
Google Geek.io Show or How It Stacks, and you'll find it. No worries.
Yeah.
Feedback@geek-io.com if you want to get in contact with us. Since Rachel is asleep, Bud Long, who do you got coming on next week?
So I'm going to say this in Rachel's voice because of the way it's written.
Pending CJ and I moving, the insanity will commence once again just off his first book launch, Go Home Santa, You're Drunk, from the NSFW show, Justin Robert Young.
Yay!
Or jury, if you listen to the Tad, or if you're in the part of the Tadpool.
Now, JD, do your best as a veto and read the next part.
Hey, it's Jared as a veto. We are currently surveying our listeners.
Bill Cosby or something?
More about you.
Jello, I'm pudding. I'm pudding pops.
Please take a few minutes to visit our website and click on the survey link found in the show notes for each episode. Thank you.
Jesus Christ, that was so bad. I thought Bud Long's Rachel was bad, but that, you know, that, suddenly Bud Long is more Rachel than.
I haven't heard Jared talk or Vito talk in forever. You know, so like I it's been a while.
You know, if you only listen to the show once a week, you would understand what he sounds.
I do listen
sounds.
To the show, but I don't know.
Douche.
Whatever. I love your face.
Douche. So on to the Geek.io Winter Movie Smackdown update, weeks 3 and 4, because we missed last week. I'm sorry. The Dildo Movie, Thor, and Book Thief, the Apple, came out and ended their runs last Friday. Hunger Games opened last weekend, and Frozen is open today. I opened I almost read that as detergent. It is way fucking late.
Yeah, dude. It's creeping.
Divergent as my wild card, and it comes out the same weekend as the Muppets Most Wanted movie. I'm kind of banking on Hunger Games type money on that one. Rachel added Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas as her wild card.
Oh, Jesus,
which comes
God.
Out the same weekend as The Hobbit.
Does she know how to play this game?
Dude, have you seen how much money those damn movies come in?
Oh man,
yeah,
it's
those movies
they
come
rake
in
crazy cash,
tons of money, and she only put $22 down on it as her remaining amount. That's
not against the Hobbit,
money.
Dude.
No, but it's just, it's
the first Hobbit didn't pull in a lot of money.
Oh wow, okay, well I don't expect this one to either.
The first Hobbit did not bring in Lord of the Rings movie.
So
yeah,
okay.
So since Dale didn't put this in here because he's been busy as hell, Sakani, no surprising because he has both Thor and Hunger Games, is leading with $12 million, following that. Is Bud Long with $2 million.
Oh, wow.
Following that is Rachel with $56,000.
Oh, man.
And me, Dale, and Jared have not – me, Dale, and Vito have not come in. We have not had our first movies come out yet. Vito's first movie is Anchorman on December 20th.
Oh, God.
My first movie is Walking with Dinosaurs on December 20th. And Dale's first movie is Saving Mr. Banks on the 20th. So, me, Dale, and Acevedo will be coming.
I, dude, I, finally, I,
I love the three of you, buddy, but Anchorman is that one that it's going to crush it.
Well, I spent $7 on Walking with Dinosaurs, so anything that movie makes will bring it back.
Yeah. So the way the game basically plays is we divide the first 2 weeks of domestic gross income by the amount of money you spent on the movie for the draft, and that's the money that you get. So it's part how much it makes, but also part how much you paid for it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So
okay. Spending
low amount of money on a movie is key. That's the reason why Slater lost the last movie draft, because he spent $50 on Iron Man 3.
50 out of 100, so he spent half of his money on one movie. And Iron Man made a killing.
Iron Man made a killing. If he would have only spent $40 on it, he would have won.
He would have cleaned the house. Like it would have been done. But he paid $50. So and that's the funny part. Wait, Slater, I love you to death, dude. But that was the funniest part. Was he started out with $50. Like it was like, all right, opening bids, and he was like $50, and we were all like, you can have it. It's yours.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah.
It was our first movie, and like Andy who MCs it is like, all right, Iron Man 3, and Slater's like, without taking a breath, $50, and we're like.
Done.
Okay.
There's half your money. I know it's going to make a lot of money, but it ain't making enough to go higher than 50.
Exactly.
No way. So, anyway.
Yeah, so we're going to be hanging out for a bit, and yeah, Anchorman's going to win that weekend, but like my theory on this one was I've spent a lot of little bit of money, and I'm kind of hoping that Captain America pulls like Iron Man money.
It might, dude. It might.
Because that kicks off technically the summer movie series, but we go until April. So Captain America kind of fell into that. So my goal was to buy Captain America, and I spent $42 on it, but I'm hoping that it brings in Iron Man money.
That's going to be a close call. It's going to be close. I know we battled on that one together, and I couldn't go any higher.
I will not know if I have any chance of winning this until April. It's not like Budlong, who's like halfway through, like, all right, I'm going to win.
Right. I was out of movies by the halfway point, and I was already, I mean, it was like some ridiculous amount of millions of dollars above everybody else.
Yeah,
this time I have no idea. I don't even consider myself in the running for the winning this time. I didn't do well.
See, the winter is kind of weird. Like winter is a completely different beast because I mean, Thor in its 2 week run only brought in $157 million. And I say that, but Iron Man brought in almost, you know, half a billion dollars in its first 2 weeks. So it's different money completely. You know, Hunger Games has only brought in $158 million.
It is. It's a weird way of looking at it, man. But I think that those movies, I don't know, you could put those in the summer and they'd blow it up too, so never mind.
Yeah, exactly. If you put Hunger Games in May, that would be a $500 million movie.
Yeah.
But because it's in November, it only gets, you know, 200 at most.
Yeah,
Frozen is going to be a very interesting thing because Disney is pouring so much money into advertising for Frozen that I'm going to be surprised if it does not make $200 million in the first 2 weeks. And Rachel only spent $17 on it, so that movie could really make or break her winning. If Frozen takes off and explodes, then that is going to catch her the win.
It looks good. Maybe. I don't know. I tell you what movie I liked, The Rise of the Guardians. Did you watch that at all?
I did.
I liked that movie.
And I watched it when it came out on HBO, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, me too, man. I thought it was good.
You got some interesting stuff. January is going to be a very interesting month because we only have a bunch of really weird movies that I would not expect to come out in January. Like, you have the horror movies coming out in January. I don't understand, but it'll be interesting to see what that does.
Yeah, right.
All right, so that was weird. It's late, diverging on really weird things. Geek IO previews for the next week. Terrible Tuesday Movie Night takes on a Miley Cyrus. Isn't this pre-going nuts? Wow, Dale. He took on LOL and ran super long. Ran like 40 minutes, where the show normally is less than a half hour. We at Disney Geek IO took on, we did a Turkey Day special. And warning, if you listen to that show, you will be hungry. Like, we talk all the food ever.
Hell yeah.
And Howard Stacks took on... damn it. To Howard Stacks does Rescue Rangers, finishing up the Disney Afternoon block.
Thank you.
Guest starring moi.
Yeah, CJ! And you brought the power, bro. We love
I
having
did.
You.
That was the best show you guys have ever done.
Exactly. That's what I keep trying to tell myself.
Because only one There's of us like, got fired this time.
Yep.
There was about 5 minutes of Final Fantasy VII. That was good.
You mean the 5 minutes that I slept? So, do you think we could look or sound better? If so, or not, go ahead and head over to geek-io.com/tipjar, as we mentioned previously, and you can donate some money to us to keep the show running. You can donate $5 or more to our cause, and we will give you a shout-out and read anything you want at the top of the show. It helps us give a plug to you, or you can just be funny and make us say ridiculous things. Either way, it helps us run the show.
Not like we don't anyway.
I think... Like, if I were to do that, I would make it so we wouldn't say crazy shit on How It Stacks, because there's some stuff that we say on there that I don't think people would pay us to say.
Right. They would pay us not to say.
Yeah. Pay us $5 and we will no longer say something about rats' anuses.
Yeah. Like, pay us $5 and we won't make fun of people with incurable things.
Yes.
Or JD won't make stereotypical jokes about Nacho Sanchez or whatever you want to phrase.
It was not, oh my God.
It wasn't that bad. I just like making fun of you.
I know you do.
Oh, somebody please donate money and try to get JD to stop saying like.
Like that'll ever happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You just said it again.
I did.
Drink. You're fired. Drink again.
Oh, cool story. The director of the movie I was in likes How It Stacks. I thought that was
nice.
Pretty cool. Yeah, man. I thought that was really neat. Final All words right. and thoughts of giving thanks. Yep.
Catch us over on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podcast Alley. I actually just put us up on Podcast Alley today. Check us out. Leave reviews. We want more reviews. Sexy Nachos is still the winner so far. We want somebody to beat them, but nobody has as of yet.
That's
we
so
sad. We
need
more reviews.
Review us.
Good, bad, ugly. Doesn't matter. Let us know.
Yeah. In reality, like, leave us anything, even if it's a one-star review. And you leave, but if you do that, leave us a legitimate reason why it's a one-star review.
Yeah.
Because, like, one person gave us a one-star review and said, you know, you guys were bashing Ron Paul in an episode. I'm like, all right, cool. At least now I know what you think.
Yeah.
So, thank you. You know, now I know that there will be, and that's the reason why now I lay the line down, no politics, no religion. Because I don't want to piss people off that much.
We like you. We want you to listen.
So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you have a legitimate reason, if you feel a need to review us and leave a one-star review, do so, but leave a comment. If you don't want to leave a one-star review and just want us to fix something, email us, because that would be the preferred way of doing things.
Yeah.
Email us and tell us the fact that you hate the fact that we bashed Ron Paul in an episode, and we won't do it again.
Right. And that would be feedback@geek-io.com.
I will use our show as a shining example. Trust me. If you give feedback, we will listen to the shit that you say. I promise.
Yeah, exactly. And do weird things that I don't agree with. But, you know, whatever.
We're trying it out. We're trying it out.
What are we trying out?
the ad change. Anyway.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I'll
All
talk
right,
to you
guys.
About that after we're done. So,
yeah.
Anything else before we head on out of here?
No, just thanks for having me on again, man. I always love being a part of geek-io.com, bitches. What? Drop the mic, and I'm done.
All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your friends and family. Do not kill each other over Black Friday. Shit, it's not worth it.
And don't go in on Thursday. Come on.
Yeah. Don't go shopping on Thursday, folks. Seriously. It doesn't matter if you can get that TV for $50. It doesn't matter. Let those people, those poor employees, have a day off. And, you know, even if they're at work, at least let them have a quiet day.
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
What?
I have no idea what he just said.
I'm working.
On that note, keep cool, geek out, see you next week.
Dose!
You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Copyright 2013.
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
I want to get out of here. I want to leave this place right now.
My little pony,
no,
my
no,
little
no!
It's a little hippy dippy.
Which is extremely appropriate for David Tennant.